The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. And nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Drive me!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellfish together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah.
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I got a feeling we got a big, big show coming up. It is another off-season edition. I don't know if this is the off-season or if the in-season is the off-season because these shows are amazing. This should be the in-season, and during the season should be the off-season for PFW in Progress.
Oh, it's off-season, in-season for Paul, well, usually.
Paul's back from Loserpalooza, so we'll talk about that later.
But and he's looking to get TV on some extended Loserpalooza.
We've got some a lot of topics to talk about today. None of them have anything to do with the Patriots, but no, I'm only kidding.
Well, one of them does.
Obviously, we got to talk about Wes Welker getting tagged and what that means and what the Patriots' options are going forward and what Wes Welker's options are going forward. We're going to do that in the next 2 hours here in PFW in Progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. The email address, phone number is 508-298-0398, and that's the ACE ticket hotline. So, guys, the big news yesterday, the Patriots did indeed franchise Wes Welker. And then he tweeted out kind of positively.
Very positively.
That, yeah. Happy to know he'll be a New England Patriot for 2012.
And then he went all LeBron James.
Named six more years
13,
after that.
14, right. 15.
Right.
Which means he's going to be like 38.
So at least, well, yeah. At least publicly, he's putting a good face to this. He's,
right.
You know?
And I don't think, my take on him is he's not going to sit out. Now, I think he wants a long-term deal, and they'll negotiate all the way through. But if that doesn't come together, I just don't see him sitting out. I don't think that's who he is. He seems to be the
right.
Hardworking, you do what you do kind of type. But right. The other thing is, he'd cost himself $500,000 every game he sat out. And if you're late in your career,
yeah.
Looking to recoup the money you missed out on previously, I don't think a good way of doing that is sitting out.
But I would even be, though, concerned, not so much for the games. Obviously, that's huge. But if they do add a new wide receiver, which we hope they will, even though they franchise Wes, you know, this is such a finely tuned offense. You want them all playing together.
I don't care.
In the offseason.
Julian Edelman is fine for training camp next to whoever this outside receiver is. And then as soon as we get to the games, we'll insert white guy for white guy and boom.
I don't know why race has anything to do with it.
It doesn't.
It's very ugly.
I was describing what they look like. One's white, one's the other's
this,
white.
This seems to be, at least initially, one of the least contentious franchise taggings that the Patriots have had in recent years.
Yeah.
I deem it boring.
Well, that's we good, want. Nothing. We want boring.
Good boring.
Yeah, good boring.
That's kind of, you know.
I mean, even Vince, even though he signed, what was it, like 2 weeks later?
Oh, he was pissy.
Initially, he was pissed.
He was pissy after the regular season
right.
Before he was even
exactly.
Tagged in that whole process.
And we obviously know Mankin's situation.
So let's get into the head of Wes Welker a little bit. Why is he fine with this, it seems?
Maybe I think he knows where his bread is buttered.
He thought after that drop they might not pay him anything ever again.
Well, now, let's try to be semi-serious.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of truth to that, I think.
Yeah.
That maybe
explain,
he,
Eric.
Well, maybe he's you saw how distraught he was after the Super Bowl.
Right.
He really took that whole play on his shoulders. He took the whole game on his shoulders, basically. I haven't really seen that from a player at this level in a really, really long time. And I can't even remember the last time a player took a game that much on his own shoulders the way Welker did. He was really distraught, like I'd never seen him before. And I think a little unfairly so, because as we've said a million times, I think Brady was half responsible for that play.
It was it was a tough catch that could have been
and
caught.
And, you know, it's barely a month since the Super Bowl, and maybe he still is feeling sort of, you know, guilty about that and wants to maybe correct what he sees as a wrong on his part, and maybe he really is excited to come back. He obviously went on vacation with his fiance, with Brady and his wife. He knows that his career was made here. I think he knows how good he has it, and I think he realizes, you know what, I'm gonna end up here anyway. So let's just put it out there. I'm happy to be.
And if it goes through without another deal, he's guaranteed over $9 million this year, which is nothing to sniff at. Now there's rumors, and this is completely rumors, that the Patriots had on the table 2 years at $16 million.
Well, it's a report. It's not a rumor.
A report.
It was reported by the Boston Globe.
Yeah.
That he declined during the season at some point during the negotiations a 2 year. Fully guaranteed $16 million deal.
That's pretty good. Guaranteed $16 million?
So the only advantage of that, though, is, you know, if he gets hurt, he has it. Mm-hmm. Here, if he does 2 years of franchise, he makes over $18 million, almost $19 million, but it's not guaranteed.
The franchise would go up, probably.
Right, it would go up because you have to do 120%.
Well,
right.
That's a low ball.
I thought
offer.
It would go way up, but I'm not sure the market is going where it looked like it was going for a while.
Mm.
I mean, Stevie Johnson, who isn't great, but was considered a top-tier young receiver, only got seven and whatever per year, right? He got $35 million over 5 years.
No, I understand that, but if you franchise somebody 2 years in a row, you have to give them a percentage.
I know how the rules work. Okay. I'm saying I don't think
he has to be all pissy.
Well, in his defense, that's exactly how I would have answered that. I have no problem with that.
And I'm not sure the market's going where it went last year or the last year and a half with Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, even Santonio Holmes. It looked like that position was really skyrocketing.
Don't you feel the free agents that change teams will have that happen?
Maybe. But maybe because there's so many of them, I don't know. I'm not sure the numbers are going to go high.
I think you take a little less to stay with your original team.
Maybe.
I think that's part of the.
But none of those guys did. I mean, Andre Johnson, Santonio Holmes, Larry Fitzgerald all got huge money deals.
Let's not confuse Stevie Johnson with those guys. There's a huge pockmark on Stevie Johnson's resume there,
right,
with his sort of bizarre behavior.
I think Stevie Johnson, Santonio Holmes, different receivers in the same class. They're not in Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson's class, but one got $55 million over 5 years, one got $35 million over 5 years. That's a big chunk of change difference.
Yeah, wasn't Holmes's a lot less than that, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know.
But even the original report of the fake money was high. Than it actually was.
No, I know, but
right?
I'm comparing apples to apples because I'm comparing the original report of the $35 million.
Yeah, no, I know, but I think that even the money that Santonio Holmes isn't going to get, like the fake money, even if he got all the fake money, it wasn't $55 million. It was like $48 million or something.
No,
like
I know,
that.
But I'm
it
just
was substantially less than
I don't
the
know
report.
What Johnson's really going to get either.
Well, maybe he'll get it all.
Maybe.
So I didn't know that the two at eight per was fully guaranteed. That's
the report.
Yeah. So I mean, heard people saying, "Oh, what an insult!" That's not really an insult.
Yeah, I think it's a little insulting.
It's
fully guaranteed.
If he has two franchise tags, that's two fully.
No,
guaranteed.
I know, but I'm just saying it's not an insult.
Is he fully guaranteed to get more than $16 million over the next 2 years? Right now,
not if he gets hurt this year.
See, I think he's fully guaranteed. I mean, not unless his career ends this year,
right? Right.
Otherwise, he's going to get more than $6 million.
And otherwise, he would be guaranteed $16 million no matter what. And now, he could be guaranteed.
But Stevie Johnson is guaranteed $19.75 plus.
Right.
I mean, and if I'm Wes Welker, Stevie Johnson can't carry my jockstrap.
There's nobody that would have taken that offer. Nobody.
No.
$16 million.
The question is, what was their counteroffer? We don't know that. We know that's what the Patriots offered. What was his counteroffer? And was there a place to get in between, or were they just so, different that there wasn't any room for negotiation?
Right.
Yeah, and we
it
do
did
know,
go quiet for a long time.
And we do know that we've talked about, from people that have talked about what Welker, and originally he was shooting for the moon. So that's a good point, Fred. Maybe his counters were just so out of whack There was really no need to negotiate. See, now I feel a little bit differently. The whole, I feel like right now, what you guys are saying, there's no chance he's going to hold out, but I feel like that because I think he's probably pretty confident that they're making progress and they're working toward a deal.
Well, that's my next thing.
In 4 months, if there's no progress toward a deal, I think you could take that tweet yesterday and
throw it out the window.
For what every other tweet is worth, absolutely nothing, it will be worth nothing because I think he'll be pretty pissed.
Well, that's my next thing is, what do you think the Patriots are saying to him, if anything,
we're
besides
keep working.
Your franchise? Yeah. Do you think they're, you know, don't worry about it? You know, because if I'm the Patriots, it's good business right now to do this, you know, for a lot of reasons. Not just to give myself more time to negotiate with him, but I need to see what else, other moves I'm going to do before I commit to this guy. So maybe you bring
free agency moves, you mean?
Yeah. You know, so what else am I going to have to commit and to who? Mario Williams, you know, for example. You know that's going to be huge. Okay, I want to see what happens there before then I go back to Wes and say, okay, here's what, you know.
Well, there's also, and Andy and I talked about it on the podcast the other day, that there was the possibility that because they waited until almost the last minute to actually place the tag on him, that maybe they were going through some negotiations, like some of these other players had been.
Like Robert Mathis.
Right.
And clearly they had
been
close
working
to a deal.
Right. So maybe they were so close, but they said, you know what? You know, maybe part of what you said, Fred, we want to wait a little bit longer just to see, you know, how the free agent market works out. But we know we're close, so we're just going to put the tag on you for now just as a formality. So don't worry about it. We're almost there. And maybe he and his agent know that. And so they're saying that publicly as sort of a hint, wink, wink, we're almost there kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe that's why he tweeted the way he did.
The other thing the Patriots have on their side here is recent history. You know, they've put out these franchise tag releases with statements applauding or lauding the talents and the desire to hold on to the talent that they franchised. And recently, they've come through with that.
Right.
You know, they re-signed Mankins. They re-signed Will Fork after franchising those guys. So I think the Patriots can look at it and say, listen, this is not dissimilar at all to what we've done the last couple of years. We've made some good progress. We're going to keep working. And I think that Wes, Andy and I talked about it upstairs. I would not be surprised within the next month or so to see a long-term deal with Welker. And I have nothing, not giving you any inside information here. I have nothing to base that on, but just the past. When they want to retain a guy, I think that you've seen them actually go out and get it done. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like Andy said, maybe Wes is looking at it and saying, you know what, this is the team that, you know, this sticking by me and all that stuff. I think, you know, quickly. But if all of a sudden you're in like June and July, and there's been nothing done.
Yeah.
Forget that little, you know, feel good tweet by Wes. He's going to be pissed.
Is nothing. I think that is 100% meaningless. But I also think, regardless of what happens between now and then, whatever September 10th or whatever the first game is, I think he'll show up because I think he wants his $557,000.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that he said
that's
glad to be a Patriot.
Him and Mankins.
Well,
Mankins didn't have that kind of money. It was a restricted free agent tender,
right,
if you remember.
Right.
Everybody is sort of, you know, connecting the dots here with what Mankins did that year. Mankins cost himself like $1 million.
Not even sure it was that much.
This would be, you know, exponentially more than
but
that.
But, I mean, if you want to parse the statement that he made, the fact that he said, I'm happy to be a Patriot for this year, leads me to believe that he's going to sign the tender.
But it's also him saying, I can't leave. No one's giving up 2 first-round picks for Wes Welker. Like,
right.
I'm tagged. I'm
yeah,
here.
But, yeah, and he realizes that he's going to be on the field this year.
Well, he could be on the field week 9 or something.
Or in week 1, because I wouldn't be surprised if, like I said, if they don't negotiate and get something done, I wouldn't be surprised.
He just shows
if he
up for the paycheck.
If he doesn't sign that tender until
he has.
He's
being realistic.
To. Yeah.
I think a lot of guys get their big balls out and then all this bravado and rhetoric. He knows the way it works.
Right.
If I'm gonna play this year, it's going to be for the Patriots, either on the tag or on a long-term deal. But I think the big difference between all those other ones and what makes it hard is he's a 30-something undersized receiver. They were 20-something defensive linemen. They were offensive and defensive linemen. They were in the prime of their career at positions where you really don't get hurt. You really don't slow down.
Right.
You're going to play 12 years or 10 years. You're going to have a long career and be similar.
Right.
a slot receiver who's 5'9", who already blew out his knee, who's already
31. Who gets blown up every game.
That's a lot different to me. There's a lot more concern of locking that guy up than those other two guys.
And Jay from New York writes in, Welker would have made more in the end with the 2 years at $16 million. At 32, with two more 100 reception seasons under his belt and two more years left on Brady's deal, he could have gotten at least another $216 million. And that would be at least $32 million in real money. Well, that's a lot of ifs there.
I was going to say, how many ifs we're going to throw at him?
I don't really understand the 216.
Well, if he got 2 years now at $16 million and had similar years that he's been having.
Then he'll sign another 2 years.
He'd get another 2 years.
And you think that's more than he would have gotten if he was on the open market right now? No way.
All guaranteed. I don't know.
He's not going to get the second one all guaranteed.
Let's not make it a 4-year guaranteed contract, because that's not what it is.
Because if they offered him 4 and 32 fully guaranteed, he'd probably
would have taken
it. And let's take
the
word guaranteed out like that means more financially, because it doesn't.
If he does.
If he signed a 2-year $16 million contract, he'd get it. Just like he got the 5 at
17. No, no, no.
I mean,
all the leverage is on the
deal.
No, no.
The guaranteed is just such a small part of that. It's such a small term. It's a 2-year contract. You're basically talking about a career-ending injury in 1 year. That could happen, sure. That's the only thing that guaranteed means. How many guys lose their career in 1 year? Not many.
But a lot of guys, you know, don't perform as well, and then they get cut.
Well, look at Mike Wright.
Who?
Look at Mike Wright. His career ended basically with a couple of plays.
Give me a few more examples. That's all I'm asking. The
guaranteed
part of
it
to me
is
Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah.
If he had signed a 2-year, $16 million fully guaranteed, his career could be over after this year, certainly here. After what he did last year. I mean, and that was not even an injury. That was his career ending.
I think guarantee is everything in these contracts.
I'm kind of between the two of you.
For long-term contracts, I think it's huge.
Yeah.
If you sign like a 5-year deal and you get like 30, what would you say that the Stevie Johnson was? It's like 19.
19 something. And change.
That to me, that's a huge number.
Supposedly.
I have a 5-year deal. I don't have to worry about getting cut now.
The longer
because
the contract,
I have this huge
the more
guarantee.
The guarantee means. There's no doubt about
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no doubt about that. So we got that on the table.
Yes. Randy Moss is on the table.
Why?
Because he's working out with the New Orleans Saints.
Speaking of whom.
And has two other, supposedly for next week, two other teams.
What do you mean he's working out? Oh, for them or with them?
For them.
For them. Okay. So they brought him in for a workout.
For a tryout.
And he says that he has another one.
Two more?
One scheduled
midweek and one some point next week.
Okay.
So three workouts. Randy Moss out of football for a year plus.
Good for him. What else?
Good for him. Now, he finds out one of them's here.
One of those workouts could be here before
Daniel Farber Fieldhouse.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if it is.
And you'll change your tune if it is.
Speaking of the Saints,
the
whole bounty thing, that's a hot topic. I know everyone's talking about it. You guys want to give your initial take, and we'll see if people want to continue talking
about
it.
This is where the argument's going to erupt.
Well, no argument.
I have no
Because I'm not going to argue the situation. But
I'm not
the
either.
Biggest issue I have... I haven't heard anyone bring up that Greg Williams owned up to it. No, he didn't. He said in his statement, I should not have got caught up in this. I should have you didn't get caught up in it.
You implemented it.
You started it. You brought it from Buffalo to Washington to New Orleans.
And no doubt in my mind, he started it in Tennessee.
Makes it sound like
somebody
Ray
else
Lewis
did.
Came in and he was this influential veteran who started this you didn't get caught up in it. It's your program.
Right.
You brought it from Buddy Ryan. You've brought it all the way through.
That's a little disingenuous.
So to me, even his statement owning up to it should get him a longer suspension because you didn't own up to it.
But you know what he's insinuating there is that this has been a long-standing thing with a lot of teams.
Of course it has been.
I became a coach in this league and just got caught up in it like everyone else did.
I don't care.
Oh, you know what? You might be right. That might be what he's
insinuating.
Is that that's when he got caught up in it. But he implemented it in
New Orleans. Absolutely.
He should
I think is even further, you know, allegedly Sean Payton knew. Allegedly Mickey Loomis knew. Now, the owner of the Saints has, you know, completely backed those two guys, which tells me he was in on it too. Because he wouldn't be so out front.
Well, it's on the record.
He knew about it.
He was told about it.
He confronted them
and told them to stop it.
And they kept it going. See, that's why Loomis is going to get fired.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I believe that he knew about it and kind of looked the other way.
Well, you can choose to believe one or the other. If that's true, then Loomis is the fall guy.
If you were the owner and you told these guys to stop and they didn't stop, would you come out now and go, and I fully support Mickey and Sean?
I would say that about Peyton, yeah, absolutely. What's more important, me saving face? Yep. I'll take the fall to make sure I retain my excellent head coach. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know.
That's why I think Loomis is going to be a fall guy at some point.
You think Loomis will be?
And Loomis has got to go.
I think it's an easy thing to do.
And now it sounds like Williams is going to get suspended for a whole year. Which, you know, Andy and I talked about this yesterday. They were saying a half a year. Well, if you're the Rams and it's a half a year, you might as well just say, you know what, Greg, here's some money. We'll honor this, but you can't be our defensive coordinator. And we have to find someone else.
Can't, right.
Can't be out with a defensive coordinator for half a year.
Yeah. The only flaw in that is, and maybe it's become bigger than they expected, but I'm guessing Jeff Fisher knew about this when he hired.
Because they're such good friends.
Well, they're good friends. Well, right. He's on the competition committee, so he's a league insider.
And look at that Tennessee team.
I also want to go back to that.
You're trying to tell me they don't have boundaries?
Because that's where these two guys cut their teeth with the Oilers when Buddy Ryan and all that stuff. Don't tell – and who, what team has a worse reputation for being chippy
than
the old Tennessee Titans of the late 90s, early 2000s?
That gets into a
separate Rodney Harris.
That's Fisher and Greg Williams. There's no doubt in my mind this has been going on for a long time.
I think a lot of places. That gets into a separate issue. I'm just talking about specifically Jeff Fisher hiring Greg Williams, knowing the NFL is circling and this guy could be in trouble and I could lose him for a suspension or – I think he had to have that in his mind when he hired him.
I would think.
I agree with you.
I would think.
I totally
so maybe he'll
with
stick with him and wait a year or
you
wait.
You know, I was listening to Sirius, and, you know, from what I understand, there was an initial investigation last year or toward the end of last year where the league couldn't find any evidence. And then, you know, and that was because of a whistleblower. Then another whistleblower came forward again. They had another investigation this October. And it reopened, and that's when they got all the damning evidence. So,
what I want to know is, what are all the documents?
They have 50,000 pages?
Yeah. Of what, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
What was documented?
I don't know. Interviews, and I don't know.
Yeah, it must be testimony.
Transcripts?
Like you said, you called them whistleblowers, okay? Yeah. So they must go in.
Was Paul talking? Good Lord.
50,000 pages?
No, but just think about how many different guys they probably have.
It's all transcripts.
But he's asking what the documents are. Don't you think that's what it is?
But it sounds like of all these guys, whether it's 50 people or 100 people, it sounds like most of them said no or I don't know. You know what I mean? If they didn't have evidence,
My favorite is Darren Sharper. Right. Someone needed to tell Darren Sharper, hey, buddy, your defensive coordinator already admitted that it happened.
Right, right.
There's no need to claim you didn't know anything about it.
Right.
And I like Darren Sharper, but, I mean, how moronic can you be?
Well, he's trying to cover his. Isn't he like a man of the year type guy trying to cover his own
I really
like.
So now you put add lying to it?
How does that help?
So what a wondrous web we weave.
Claude Rains and Casablanca?
Shocked
to find there's gambling going on. Here are your winnings, sir. Oh, thank you.
Seriously. At some point, don't you just have to say,
he's the one who
no comment.
I should not have gotten caught up in it.
Well, I, you know, as far as all these people, indignant people, Patriots of Spygate and all that stuff, and this should be worse, I don't really care what the penalty is as compared to Spygate. All I know is there should be a penalty.
Yes.
But it's going to be worse than Spygate.
Well, yeah, and I don't really care. I'm not even going to look at this and go, oh, I have to make sure. I don't care what it is. I just know that Goodell has to do something.
And
he will.
He needs to cover his own ass legally, I would think.
Especially in light of all the safety
that people
crap
were being
that he's
injured,
been doing.
Yeah. Now you have lawsuits of guys' careers ending on top of the lawsuits you're already dealing with for concussions.
Right. And that's
all of a sudden, your insurance company is going to say, wait a minute.
Right.
That's
and you,
keep
and you guys are no longer allowed to make fun of my stupid blind assertions from afar about the way guys carry themselves.
Right.
Because I told you Greg Williams was a lunatic.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a classless jerk. And that's exactly what he is.
And, you know, the hypocritical thing about this is all these players saying, you know, we want to be physical, but we never want to see another player get hurt.
Right.
But if these bounties were guys getting carted off, he got hurt.
Right.
That's why he's getting carted off. So you do want to injure people, you know?
I mean, I remember that the playoffs that year and the ridiculous cheap shot on Warner after the interception was appalling.
Oh, God, yeah.
And the high low on Brett Favre was appalling. And that to me was way out of bounds in terms of we're just playing hard. Yeah. No, that was you're trying to hurt someone.
Mm.
Right. And we said it at the time. It's not like you're trying to use hindsight as your arbiter here. We all said it at the time that that's a chippy defense that played on the edge of trying to hurt people, and now you find out they were intentionally trying to hurt people.
And Brett Favre was getting a lot of criticism yesterday for talking because, oh, Brett Favre found a microphone and spotlight again.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I hate Brett Favre as much as anybody, but
he handled it really well.
And he's relevant.
I mean, he basically said – I thought there was something going on in that game. It seemed a little different.
I thought it was really interesting that he said something on the field to Sharper, who we played with all those years.
But then
what's
he said,
going on
if
here?
If you're looking for somebody to testify in a trial, you're barking up the wrong tree. He's basically saying, yeah, it was a little fishy.
I play football, and I know that we get that's
right,
what happens.
He didn't want to be part of some whole, oh, they beat me up, it's not fair.
It's a really bad example to set, though, because like it or not, all the players in the leagues or the classes below them, college, high school, even Pop Warner, they're looking up to these players and seeing, and the coaches at these different levels are looking up to those coaches and seeing what goes on. And if they're trying to find a way to motivate their players, who's to say they won't do something?
Absolutely.
You know, try to come up with some incentive program to try to hurt another player. The goal should be to just tackle. It shouldn't be to go out there and kill a person or injure them.
And I can't stand when they say, oh, they give the stickers in college for big hits. Let's separate big hits from intentionally trying to
hurt.
That's
the biggest thing.
Right.
Because everybody is trying to lay as big a hit as possible when they hit.
Fine.
But you're not thinking about, oh, I want him carted off.
Right.
I'll make $50 if he gets carted
off.
Like, I'm not sure that I've seen in the last 15 years, a guy who hits more physically than Ray Lewis.
Right.
But I can't even think of a single case where I said, wow.
That was cheap.
That was a chippy hit. That was a cheap
hit.
No,
it was, there's a difference.
There's no added incentive to me. To me, it's just, you're being an absolute moron and classless if you're saying, no, it's not enough that we're knocking the quarterback to the ground. We need to knock him out of the game.
Right.
That's a difference when we're intentionally trying to hurt.
Right.
Andy's right. The incentive is there in college for big hits and stuff. That's the same as it is in the pros.
Well, the incentive is there in
how you
in
carrying
Pop
that
Warner.
Into we need that guy to get carted off the field in order for you to get
there's
ridiculous.
No one who plays football who doesn't want to lay as big a hit
exactly.
It's part of it may be barbaric. It may be a problem with the sport on a grand scale.
And we want that
but
too.
But it's human nature. If I'm going to hit a guy, I want him to go down, not me. I want to hit him harder. It gets back to what how we're wired inside with testosterone and stuff.
And you know,
I don't see how you can play properly if you're not of that mindset.
Right. You're going to get hurt yourself if you don't
play
that
way.
Like
Paul, when he was in high school, shying away from contact is a safety.
You know, and then the other thing is I was thinking is,
put a bounty out on me.
And I even want to separate the big hit that results in an injury, which it happens all the time.
Exactly.
And then there's a celebration for it. I think the rules of sportsmanship should stop there too. I mean, I know as a dad, if I saw my kid just got knocked out and I see kids high-fiving, I'm a little pissed off about that.
And like, what if? All right, let's just take for like a hypothetical example. Let's say there was somebody like a Dennis Byrd case or Daryl Stingley, any one of these players who's gotten paralyzed as a result of a hit he's taken on the football field. If something like that happened to a Saints opponent, would the player actually want to get paid after that, knowing that he paralyzed the guy?
No. Good point.
Most of them would not.
Yeah. Well, I
don't know that. I don't know that anymore.
But the bigger issue, that's a good point from a sportsmanship thing and just a moral thing, but now, what legal ramifications does this open up?
Because
now
we know. I agree with you. I've seen a lot
of things. That's cover your ass.
I've seen a lot of things on Twitter where they're saying, you know, I hate when this sports stuff, you know, carries over and people want to say what kind of legal action can be taken. Well, in this particular, normally I agree 1,000%. But in this particular case where you're openly admitting that your goal was to knock the guy out, I think there is some legal grounds if something like what Eric just described were to have happened. Mm-hmm. And thankfully it didn't. But what if Kurt Warner, what if that hit on Kurt Warner resulted in paralysis?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He shouldn't be allowed to go after the Saints?
He absolutely should be.
To find out, you're openly admitting that that was intentional. That was your goal.
Right.
That, to me, makes it all different. I'm with Andy on this. It's not just the goal to get the guy with the ball on the ground. Your goal is to try to make sure that the next time that guy has the ball, he doesn't necessarily want to get past me because he knows it hurt the last time.
That's part of the fabric
of
the
game.
That's
part of football.
And that, snot bubbles and all that.
That is all 100% fine in my book.
But it crosses the line when you take it to this extreme where my goal isn't to get the guy with the ball on the ground. It's to get the guy to stay on the ground and not get back up.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
And to me, the huge level is the cart. You know, like you get an extra 100 or whatever it was for the cart.
That means he got injured.
Because every defensive coach is saying, we need to hit the quarterback, we need to knock him out of this game. But they don't really mean hurt him. They mean knock him around, knock him
I don't even know how to describe it.
They can feel it.
Brady. Yeah, we've seen Brady when he gets batted around. He starts to lose his comfort, lose his cool. That's what 90% of coaches are talking about. The other 10%, maybe Greg Williams, Buddy Ryan, they're talking about knock him out of the game, knock him out of the game.
Did you hear that sound clip they played of Greg Williams this morning? I don't know how long, if that's been making the rounds, but it was a clip before the Super Bowl, and it was coach speak 101. You know, you're talking about getting to Peyton Manning. You know, you knock the head off, and you know the body comes next, and we need to get him around, and the ball comes out so quickly that we have to find a way to disrupt him and knock him around and make him uncomfortable. Well, all the stuff that he said, it's football 101. But now, with hindsight, the benefit of hindsight, knowing that, well, their actual goal was not to just knock the head off.
They wanted
to knock his head off.
Right.
Literally. They wanted him on the ground and not getting up. You know, and now look, I mean, I don't know. I don't really remember them getting a whole lot of pressure on him that day, out of the ordinary, but who knows with the neck problems that he's had. Did he get hit against the Saints?
It came from Washington. When Greg Williams
was in Washington.
Dungy said that was the original thing?
Dungy would know.
And you know who hit him?
Haynesworth.
Sean Taylor?
No, Andre Carter. It was two people hit him.
He wouldn't do anything.
Andre Carter wouldn't comment on it.
That's great right there. That's great.
Well, that's the way.
He wouldn't do that.
This is no Patriots glasses. This is just me talking to Andre Carter and the type of cerebral professional he seems to be. You'd like to say, oh, he would never be taking
part. That's why I was so disappointed with Darren
anymore
Sharper.
Darren Sharper.
Because I thought
of that. That's why he's covering his ass, because he fancies himself a Walter Payton Man of the Year type guy
different. That's why I answer the question the same way every time when people ask me, so who's the good guy? I have no idea.
I also...
In the 45 minutes I'm in the locker room, I'll give you 30 guys that I've talked to that are great guys. I don't know what they do when they're not in that locker room.
It's also, it's a tough situation. It's a slippery slope. When you're in a meeting room with 27 other guys and there's an environment and peer pressure.
Right. Are you going to be the guy that says, no, this is wrong?
Right. And to me, if he hit him, I don't think in his heart of hearts he was trying to hurt Peyton Manning. And I just find it bad person to say, you know, Andre Carter's a bad person because he laid a hit that may or may not have earned him $100 in a bounty program and may or may not have hurt Peyton Manning.
Right, it might be a cause and effect thing.
Yeah,
he may very well have been
there.
Part of a bounty program, but he may not have actually been trying to hurt Peyton Manning.
Right.
Not necessarily the same thing.
Big jump to say Andre Carter's a terrible human being.
Oh, yeah.
Or any of these guys. Some of them are. But you know what? Some people who don't try to hurt him are also terrible human beings that are out there playing.
You know, and like I said, we constantly hear, well, nobody wants to see another guy get hurt.
Right.
Yeah. And I still believe
I don't know.
And I still believe that.
I
actually think even within this, aside from maybe some extreme cases, they want him carted off and they want him to play next week.
Sure.
And I know that's weird to say those two things can exist.
Right.
But I think that's true. They want to knock him out of our game, but I hope he's fine for next week and he can go out and beat whatever team he plays.
Right.
But I'm trying to win and I'm in that mindset of craziness.
Right.
I heard somebody say, Brian Billick said it this morning, it's like in the old murder mysteries where somebody says, I'm going to kill you, and then the guy's dead the next day, and the police come back and say, well, you were heard saying I'm going to kill you. But we were arguing.
Right.
I didn't really mean I was going to kill him. I think there's some aspect of that to this.
There is, but when you put money on it, it's hard to prove. You know?
I know, and that's it's
so
hard.
It's weird. Who would have thought?
Wacky stuff.
So anyway, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge from North Carolina is there. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good. Thanks for holding on.
No problem. Love your show. Love the topic. But I think Greg Williams, I don't know. I think most coaches do it anyway. But it might not mean to hurt the player, you know, intentionally.
Doesn't make it right.
That's crossed when you have a specific amount of money involved for a guy getting carted off. You've taken it to a massive extreme.
Now, if you do that, I don't appreciate that either, because I don't like none of my favorite stars get hurt like that either. But I saw y'all PFW wish list, free agent.
Yep.
And this is what I would like to see done. Either Vincent Jackson or Mike Wallace, you know.
Well, Wallace is...
I'd rather Mike Wallace, but...
He's been franchised with the exclusive, right?
He's not been franchised.
Oh, no, he got signed.
No.
Mike Wallace is a restricted free agent.
What am I... who got signed?
Dwayne Bowe.
Was franchised.
Just a regular franchise.
Oh, Stevie Johnson got signed.
Stevie Johnson was signed.
Okay.
Dwayne Bowe got signed, too, I think, because I heard this morning
He got franchised.
He got franchised.
Oh, maybe this morning.
Unless he signed a contract this morning.
Unless it's a developing situation.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
But,
now, you say either Jackson or Wallace. Are they totally equal in your mind?
I think Jackson is about equal, except for one thing, Wallace is a little bit faster.
Well, because I look at it, Wallace is younger
and faster.
I think Jackson's a better all-around receiver, bigger, and more proven.
Yeah.
But I think he has issues.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, he has the alcohol issues.
Off the field issues.
But I think that's a huge one.
Well, it is.
All
yeah.
of this one, you know, yeah, it won't cost you. It won't cost you financially.
No.
You know, if you sign a 5-year deal for him for $50 million and he gets suspended, I mean, it doesn't cost you money. But that's a big part of your future going forward.
It costs you money because you'll get misinvested.
That's what I'm saying.
You could have
the clause. Yeah.
No. I don't think you'll actually pay it. I'm saying
you committed
to him for $8 million. I could have signed Mike Wallace for $8 million, and he'd actually be playing and making plays.
I'm with Andy.
You cost him getting somebody else.
It doesn't cost you the actual liquid money, but it costs you.
Right.
But I don't want to see the Jets get him, either one of them.
Well, you can't think like that.
Yeah.
You got to get a guy because you want him, not because you don't want the Jets to get him. And by the way, they still have Sanchez. So no matter what receiver they get, he won't be as good there as he would be here.
No, but they're also getting Jason Campbell, too, the Jets are.
Jason Campbell sucks.
He's awful, too.
He's the guy who's afraid to make mistakes. He hasn't made a play in his life.
Jason Campbell's going to the Jets, though?
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
But I'm willing to pop off.
If he does, I'm not
the last I heard, they were interested in Henny.
I'm not scared of him either.
No, I'm not saying that.
The only one they could have interest in that I would fear is named Peyton Manning.
There's two of them?
Or moving up to get RG3 or something. You know.
My Bill Peterson. I got one word for you. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. But you know what? I hope they cut Branch.
That guy from Houston.
Yeah. Ocho.
What'd you say?
I hope they cut Branch and Ocho.
Well.
Do you try to get Wallace or Vincent Jackson? And then in the first round, get Fletcher Cox, because I know ain't gonna get no Melvin Ingram.
And I don't think Fletcher Cox is going to be available in the first round.
Yeah, he's going to be gone. And then come back and get Stephen Hill.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. And Turbin, too, right?
Oh, my God, with this Turbo.
Yep.
All righty. Thanks, Aldridge.
All right, keep on trucking.
Thanks, Biggie.
Speaking of the 50,000 documents, Chris with a TIN says, I read the league got access to the Saints' email system. And a portion of the 50,000 documents include all emails pertaining to the bounty situation.
You want to take it to the height
still
of more
still has a
stupidity?
Lot of emails, though.
Why were they emailing about it so much?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's like you're committing some crime, and I'm going to tell all my friends, and we'll go back and forth about it.
In all seriousness, I'm not exaggerating. There are times where, like, I'll be emailing with my friends about just random stuff, and one of my friends might ask me something like Mario Williams. And I might say, I think he'll cost like $90 million. I don't really see it. And I actually think twice before I write something like that because who knows who ends up seeing that someday and they say, you think we're cheap?
Right.
And that, which wasn't really my point, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I am very conscious of kind of what I write in an email to
someone.
Absolutely. And I'm just like a lowly guy working for the team newspaper.
Yep.
These are Saints that are involved in a bounty program and they're openly emailing about it?
Let me tell you. Paul,
please do tell because it sounds like we're going to take a quick break so Paulie can hear that story.
You mentioned Ray Lewis never being, overtly dirty.
Except for that murder thing.
Josh writes.
Yes.
Josh writes in.
Paul, there was that murder trial he was involved in.
Don't you think Lewis spearing Brady in the back after diving for the touchdown was blatant attempt to injure or hurt another player? The play was over once the ball crossed the line, but Lewis drove his helmet and shoulder into Brady's back trying to crumple him up. Just saying. I think it was such a bang-bang thing.
I didn't think that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great play by Brady,
actually.
I
thought he used mostly his shoulder.
And I thought it was a great play by Brady. And he was so quick that it was, that they did it whatever they could to try to keep him out. I don't think it goes through your mind, he's already over the goal line. I'm not going
to
touch him.
And objects in motion tends to stay in motion.
I thought that play was...
They're already in motion.
That was an exceptional quarterback sneak by Brady.
And Dan writes in light of the franchise tag situation, I started thinking about teams that would be in the market for Welker next year should a long-term deal fall through. And I could only come up with around 10 teams that would not be in the market. He mentions those. I base this on whether the...
We're not going to bother with
that. Well, all right. Steelers, Ravens, Raiders.
No, you
Raiders,
don't have to do that. No.
I base this on whether the offensive style doesn't call for a premier slot target. The team has enough targets already. Cap space for the quarterback wouldn't be able to hit him consistently enough to make it worth the price. But for those who think Welker's value is only in New England, I could see the remaining two-thirds of the league finding a use for him.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of teams would take whether their offense has a key slot receiver now or not,
Now, age is an issue here. That's a separate issue. But the role he performs, a guy who with his quickness, with his hands, who can roll out of bed and beat guys out of the slot every year for 100 catches, I think most offenses in football would take that. Don't, you know, I don't care whether you're down the field or what. It makes your offense better. You're more well-rounded. I think everybody would take it, except maybe Al Davis because he doesn't run a fast 40 and he's dead.
All right.
Not necessarily in that order.
Lance J. writes in, what's up, pimps, he says.
Playa!
Seems as if quite a few free agents got the franchise tag yesterday. Patriots tagged Welker. I think this leaves us with a Mario Manningham or Lawrence Johnson Robinson type.
Hey, Paul.
I hope neither. I would like to see them move up in the draft and snag Michael Floyd out of Notre Dame. Last, what's the chance you think we might be able to get Peyton Manning? He
middle
and Greg Williams are all I have heard about this week. Everyone wants to speculate where Manning might go because, you know, baby Ursay is about to cry Manning away. Okay.
Cry Manning away?
I was hoping you'd give me the Mario Manningham.
Oh. I thought you were asking me
to critique
opine
the person
on
the,
Ashley Fox, who I don't know who that is.
Her middle name is
apparently
Nada.
A .com writer for ESPN.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, not overly
Helody,
impressive.
You mean?
Who, Mario Manningham?
No, Ashley Fox.
I don't think Bill's overimpressed with Mario Manningham anyway, based on the fact.
Let him throw it to Manningham!
It's all about Cruz. Cruz and Knicks. It's a Cruz and Knicks game.
I guess you have to, you know, pick your poison there.
Yeah, that's he picked it.
That's the poison he picked.
Yes, yeah. He was right.
We do have one other note we haven't brought up, that big news of the day. The crap sheet going national.
Peace
going
out.
Going to NFL Network based out of Dallas.
Good riddance.
We'll be working for the official network of the NFL.
So we won't have to worry about him no more.
Well, a year later, the rumors finally came true.
As a matter of fact, Warren from London writes in, he would like Paul to give us a statement on the crap sheet leaving the Herald.
Warren, we at Patriots Football Weekly are very happy for the crap sheet and look forward to ignoring much of what he does over the next several years.
Except mocking the many, many mistakes he'll make on a national level now.
Wait, what?
So this means we can mock him without him crying now, right?
No, he'll still cry.
Oh, okay. He'll still cry. But who cares?
But it does mean, other than Paul, Kevin, that there's an opening at the Herald, so if you want to get your resume in. So I know you,
and they allow people to make a lot of mistakes.
I know you want to write. You're big into it.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. You don't have to get all pissy.
Wow. Hey, who was that chick you were with yesterday at the front desk?
Yeah.
Can we talk about her
on air? Is that your sister?
No, she's pretty hot, though, huh?
Yeah, who is she?
Well, who is she first before I open up here?
A girl.
Find out she's Mr. Kraft's niece.
No, a girl I knew from school that...
Did you?
Is thinking about...
You did?
Knew?
Did I want...
Biblically? Or
you know what? When I asked the question,
No, I didn't.
Out of
you kidding me? Way out of my league.
I know. Because actually, when she was talking, I was like, who's this young girl with this fat, bald... Oh, hey, Kev. Because you were literally leaning over, and you looked like you had to be in your 40s.
It so, but yes.
She had, like, spandex pants
so
on.
She
had a nice little rump.
She had the tightest pants I've ever seen in my entire life on.
Oh, yeah, she had a
nice
little
rump. She looked like one of those TVS.
Was she wearing a thong?
Oh, yeah, because there was no underwear line.
There was no line.
And these pants were too tight to hide an underwear line.
My God.
Well, how long did you look?
Actually, she may not have had a thong. She may have had nothing under.
Didn't I tell you to call me whenever that happened?
Could you be any more creepy?
I think nothing is probably
the... I mean, you are dissecting the... underwear lines.
Why did she have
that? Was in that was in a
why
split second too.
Evidently, we were so both you could creep it up at the office.
She wanted me looking. The only thing she lacked were those pants that says like a word on the butt,
pink,
which actually makes you look at their ass.
Pink.
Yes.
So what was she doing here?
She actually, we hadn't caught up in a while, and she wanted to kind of come see what I did and see the studio and see KSP and do all that. And
so
we got
you showed
beer
her the ropes around. You had what?
So got a beer afterwards at Toby's.
Nice.
So.
And how old is she?
Is that all you got?
Is she up for a
job? Please don't tell me she's the same age as you.
No, she's 24. She's 2 years younger than me.
She looks like she's about 45 years younger than you. I mean, she has like a girlish, like,
we
walked out together.
I mean, that's taking...
So in that nanosecond that we walked past the front desk, he had all of this like analysis going on in his head.
That's part of what I'm getting
at. You should notice, as a single man who hasn't gotten any action in 6 years, I noticed.
Those are unconfirmed reports.
They are confirmed.
They're unconfirmed.
Can confirm.
Cannot confirm.
Well, whatever it is. I mean,
it's been a lot longer.
That's his problem. There was a hot girl in tight pants and he barely noticed.
I noticed her, but I didn't go through the analysis that
and
you went through.
And if she's 24, I've been trying to get him out of that little thing there.
But he's not out of it. He still thinks he could get her. He can't.
but he thinks he could.
You should maybe look at the cougar market, Eric. I mean, because they would be all over you.
They can't bear children.
Dating website, CougarLife.
No, I'm just talking about back in the game.
They can't bear children.
I'm not talking about marrying them, for Christ's sake.
This just took an awful serious turn. You want to have kids?
No, you got to get back.
Who doesn't?
Well, yeah, but
a lot of people.
But the point is, Eric,
Maura claims she doesn't.
Yeah, she claims she didn't want to change her name too.
You know, but what I'm saying is, I
don't think she wants to have kids.
Before you get up to the plate, Eric, you want to take a few practice swings, all right? So you use them for your practice swings. So when you do meet the woman of your life,
taking advice from the guy who wants to buy alpacas,
you're ready. You know.
Wait, this isn't funny
anymore. But what?
You
want to
have kids?
No, but I want to get back
eventually.
To
that. I don't blame him for that.
I don't either.
No.
But now I like.
Why? I was the same way.
His clock is ticking. I want to get him some kids.
I'm not desperate for that. But in order to have kids, you have to have somebody who's of childbearing age.
And I'm with you.
And now I see why you like the younger girls.
Thank you.
Well, but
I thought it was obvious.
Because women your age are like,
exactly.
You know, the clock is ticking.
Right, and they want kids yesterday, and I'm not ready for that.
Once you get to
40. Want kids, you just don't want them now.
No.
You want them tomorrow.
But plus women, when you get past 40.
See, that's different. No, because I was wondering why the Cougars couldn't bear children.
Well, like, it is riskier.
Why is
there's
this
more
just
risks
no,
and it's harder and all that stuff.
But he's not that old. What are you, 37?
I'm 39.
39, okay? 39-year-old women can have children.
They can, yes. You know, but it's a little bit more difficult.
You know, and let's just
age.
And let's
older
just say
than that,
no,
right?
Yes, well,
Cougars 50.
No, not necessarily.
And whatever.
Boy,
40s.
You talk about super literal. This conversation took a really, really
unfun. This is the thing we're arguing about.
This is just
we've got the Saints bounty. We've got the franchise tag, free agency, combine prospects.
Cougars. Unfun turn. Well, Cougars. This is a cutoff. It's got to be like 45.
There's a ceiling.
Cougars.
Would you be willing to have a surrogate wife?
No.
Not wife, but mother.
Really took an unfun turn.
Raise it as a single dad.
No.
It.
No.
Well, I don't know what it is yet.
It's not an it.
You wouldn't be willing to be a single dad.
It wouldn't be a first choice, no.
Well, no. But
nor should it be.
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
I have enough trouble with these damn kids with another person helping.
Could you
have
like a live-in
nanny?
Adopt.
If you get an old woman, you could adopt. That is certainly...
He wants someone
for
from his loins, right? You want
he wants someone
what
for
man
his
doesn't?
Loins first.
I could care less.
Well, just to be honest with you, there's a lot of people that don't want to have children.
Yes.
Now, I'm not one of them. That was very important to me.
I should hope not, since you have a couple
no,
already.
No, but I'm saying I don't...
Be a little late to decide that.
But this,
Will, I didn't really care
about
you guys.
What I'm saying is I felt exactly like Eric does. That was something that was extremely important to me. I would not have married a woman that was unsure or didn't want to have children.
Right.
I would not have. It was important to me. That's all I'm saying. Obviously, I have two children. Jeez, I wish I didn't.
It's a little late. You know how many loser paloozas you could go
but
to?
There are.
Kids?
I do know a lot of people that don't have any interest in having children.
You could stay for the championship if you didn't have kids.
Right.
Your team still wouldn't be
why
in
do
it,
you but... have to be... Why are you always talking?
Like, that might be the funniest thing you've ever said. Why are you always talking?
I mean, for all of the crap that you've given me about Richmond over the years, Fred Kirsch in one line topped anything you ever
did. That was actually
by,
his joke. He
by
just
dubbing
said
it loser palooza.
That
was
didn't
the
hear him
best,
say it, so I said it louder.
The best term ever. He beat you.
I don't even remember when he said that.
He beat
it was the
you
other day.
With one fell swoop. You probably weren't there.
Anyway, all right. Let's see.
Loser Palooza top anything that you did.
Now, John is from Lynn, Mass.
Why are you
and
talking?
I guess John spends
talking.
A lot of time writing limericks. John and
yes.
Lynn.
Yeah, he should spend more time in Lynn.
And I guess he started on the PFW
well, you
in
can
Progress.
Only spend so much time in there.
Well, you never know.
On the PFW in Progress forum.
Yes.
There's a whole limerick
yes.
section now.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wouldn't read America.
He's got one here. Passport
there's
draft.
There's a whole series of them that end with like the same line, and it's not flattering for you.
Oh. This one says passport
drafts. He's not very
drafts,
creative, obviously.
Passport draft picks have left fans aghast of receivers that have been miscast. Let's hope Bill fills the need for talent, not just speed, not more wideouts that go nowhere fast. Okay.
Something
and then he has another one.
There.
Fred would find alpaca wool handy, but they're nasty critters when randy. They consume food en masse, produce much poop and gas, like a furry four-legged Andy.
And you don't have to worry about them being randy because you're going to take care of that.
Oh, what?
We're back to that now. How cruel
he's
that is.
He's
going to
service the alpacas?
No, he's going to.
He's going to make sure that he takes care of it.
So if you're looking for more of those types of limericks, I guess the
PFW
Progress Forum
so,
is a whole bunch of them.
So not only during the season at 4 o'clock, you tune in for Pete Shepard's unique brand not, of Patriots
not
talk.
Not unique brand.
You can also,
well, you hope not.
If you're interested
well,
in John,
Packers might be.
John and Lynn's limericks, you can find more of those.
John and Limerick.
On PFW in Progress.
And you can also find the thread where they are a little upset with you, Fred, for going to too many callers and for too long. Our roots are an email-driven radio. That's where we should remain.
Fair enough. Let's go to the phone.
Write better emails.
Larry in Worcester. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Good.
I called because of the bounty thing.
Yeah.
Now, $50,000 in cash apparently isn't much money where the NFL's concerned, but it's a whole lot of money where the IRS is concerned.
Well, that's another thing.
Yeah.
And isn't there a cap? Well, salary cap in the NFL?
Those are some of the issues that are being brought up.
The CBA makes it very clear there can be no form of incentive whatsoever.
Correct.
Whatsoever.
So that's also going to be part of this. I just think it's such a small amount of money for that part of it. I'm with you on the IRS.
IRS doesn't see it that way.
No, but I agree with you on the IRS.
He's talking about the cap.
I'm talking about the cap circumvention. I've heard a lot about that over the last couple of days. This is even have, you know, cap ramifications. Yeah, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to lose draft picks. They're going to get suspended, and they're going to get fined a lot of money. They're going to get all of that's going to be part of this. I just don't think the cap part of this is that big.
Do you know where the $50,000
from the players?
Yeah,
they were fined.
Right,
it's pooled money.
Well, Williams put it out of his own pocket too, right?
A lot of it, I guess, came from if you're late for a meeting, if you miss
internal
fines
for things,
kangaroo courtish,
charities.
Well,
it would be nice if they
did go to charity. I think others reinvest it like this team. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the Patriots talked about that. Teddy Bruschi talked about doing it with the Patriots.
Right.
The
same
kind of stuff when you're late for a meeting, you know, whatever. They put money in, and then they got told to stop, and they stopped.
But what they were giving it to charity?
There was incentives for plays. Teddy talked about this over the week. It was on ESPN.
This
is out there. I saw it. I'm not breaking news. This was on ESPN.
I saw Teddy getting into it pretty good with Marcellus Wiley and Mike Golic on one of those sit on the couch things that ESPN does.
They were
getting into it. Teddy was saying this is atrocious. I can't believe they're doing this, blah, blah, blah. And Wiley and Golic were saying, oh, come on, there's nothing wrong with that. It's no big deal, whatever.
Yeah, the first night, the Friday night on ESPN, Teddy was basically saying this is not all that surprising. This is stuff that goes on. The way we did it in New England, it was late for a meeting, all this stuff. And then, you know, there was incentives. He didn't say anything about injuries. That, to me, was the difference.
Right.
He said incentives for pick sixes and whatnot. But in terms of the cap, if you want to make this a cap issue, that's the same thing.
Right.
Whether, your incentives are for plays, it's still, how did you deem it? There's to be no income.
Right. There's no. Yeah.
You want to make it a big deal for the salary cap, that's the same that all the other teams are doing too.
Right.
Oh well, then you got to kind of do it like Spygate, just to tell everybody you don't do that anymore.
Well,
period.
Yeah. I mean,
and then that has to be kind of brushed under the.
To me, the issue here is the
injuries.
Right. You're trying to hurt people. It's not a cap problem. It's not a money problem to me. It's you're trying to hurt people, and you're affecting people's careers.
But I think back in Golic's day, didn't they just do that?
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised Golic didn't have any problem with it, having played for Buddy Ryan.
Right. And back in the day, it was, I know there were a lot of tweets. I didn't watch it, but there was a discussion between Jimmy Johnson, somebody else from like a 1989 pregame show talking about bounties. And it's a different era. It is.
Exactly. I mean, I can't believe that people are actually using that as a point on their side.
But it was illegal then, too.
But you didn't have the stressing of player safety now.
Exactly.
And we didn't know all the stuff about head injuries that we know now.
Right.
It's like saying, well, geez, they smoked in the 60s. Why can't you smoke now?
Right. But people are... Yeah, but it was illegal then. I think somebody said Will McDonough goes, but that's illegal. He was the one who raised his hand, basically, and said, you're not supposed to do that.
Right. All right, Larry, thanks for calling in.
Good stuff,
Larry. And the other thing is, you think, how can getting a couple hundred bucks incent these guys? It's not the money. It's just winning.
It's the competition.
These guys compete in everything. I mean, ping pong, cards, dominoes, getting into the training room first. Everything is a competition.
Remember
we saw
Rich Ornberger jump a chair to beat Ryan Wendell to the training room?
Yeah. Right. Almost injuring themselves.
How many times have we said a tragedy struck today?
Right.
In the Patriots locker
room. Everything is a competition for these guys. That's the way they are. So it's not surprising to me that winning a couple hundred bucks would mean something to them. It's not the money.
Right.
You know? So, but, and it's, but it could mean somebody getting carted off is right. the ironic thing, you know. It's
but like I said, I honestly believe 98% of the players, whatever it is, want the guy to play the next week and yeah. would feel bad if in the meeting where they show in the I do believe I think probably even Greg Williams would
But do they
bad.
Stop and think what I they could be doing?
See, I even think
well,
98%
you can't. If you stop and think, then you don't play football and you don't try to hit somebody, because if you stop and think, it's not good for your body on any level.
You can play football and not go out there intentionally trying to hurt somebody.
No, if you take the time to stop and think and look at all the ramifications, you don't play the sport of football. You don't do it, ever. You don't start. And we're going down that road with parents thinking about that and discussing it.
I'm thinking about it.
Me too. And I love football more than anyone. Yeah. But if you actually analyze it and think about it, you don't play football. You just don't.
Right.
So, and that's the issue the league is going to face moving forward.
But you can get hurt in other sports.
Not
by,
like football.
By accident.
Yeah, but not like well, football.
You can get hurt in hockey.
Football and hockey to me.
Football and hockey are
very
close.
But even football is way worse. Even hockey, you do not bang helmets every single
right.
play.
Right.
That is football. Now, not everybody, not the quarterback, but if you're in the front seven, those seven guys, they bang their heads into another head every single play. Yeah. You don't do that if you're thinking about, you know, my health and my long term and is this right. You don't play. You just don't.
Yep. And I'm with you, Andy, on the 98% thing. You know, I think if you're participating in something like this, I think, like you said with Andre Carter, he very well could have been involved in a play in a situation like that with Greg Williams. I really don't think that most players, I'm sure there are some, most players are going out there saying, yeah, I want to win that $500 to knock this guy into a cart. No. He's trying to hit the guy as hard as he can.
Right.
And whatever happens from there happens. I don't really think that there's a lot of guys that intentionally go out trying to injure people.
Right. I agree.
I really don't. Now, maybe
I don't know what to believe. I really don't know what to believe.
I was listening to EEI this morning on the Dennis and Callahan show, and they had Pete Cronin, who does the BC color commentary. And he played for BC, and he also played in the pros for many years. And he said that we had him all the time. But they were could be as little as we had one of our coaches owned a shop that sold Western gear, like boots, and he would give us like $25 gift certificate to a shop, and guys would go nuts for that.
For what though?
Taking a guy out if a guy gets knocked out of the game. In fact,
so the exact same thing.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
He said there was one time one of the kickers. He mentioned the guy's name.
Efren Herrera.
No. It was
Rafael Septian.
Septian. It was told if any of you guys get him out of the game, you know.
You don't remember
Septian?
Yeah.
Why were they afraid of him?
Because he was a jerk, and they. I remember them. I just.
Oh, but that's a separate issue.
No, yeah, they were targeting him because they were
because of the thing that happened
on
to him.
On a special team. He said we all made our blocks, and then we
and
all
they
turned,
all tried to hit him.
10 guys were running after him.
I remember that.
He was smart, and he ran out of bounds. And then another play, there was a guy on special teams who was famous for blocking kicks, and he was really good at hurdling the line. And they said, if you can get him out. And so I don't know if it was Cronin that did. I think Cronin said he did it. He went over the line. He just punched him right in the crotch.
But see, to me, those are two different things.
Yeah.
If you're doing something because the guy's a jerk and everyone hates him, well, that's different than just trying to hurt a random guy who's doing
right.
his
they
job.
Weren't trying right. to take the kicker out of the game. They were trying to
right.
hit the kicker
because he's
being
a jerk.
A jerk.
Yeah. He was. They were giving him a blanket party in all
right.
aspects.
Right.
They ordered the code red.
I just I just remember that from the time, and he was running around the field trying to like avoid contact. He was trying to run away
well,
from.
Well, stop being a jerk. Then.
And I just got him confused with, you know,
he also
my
had
kicker.
He also
I,
had
you know.
An off-field incident, didn't he, with the molesting children or something?
Oh, really?
Rafael Septian?
Generally, you want to be sure of that
yeah,
before you
I don't know about that.
No. He had.
I'm not doubting you. I just don't know.
I'll look it up for you. But he did.
I didn't say it didn't happen.
I know. I want to get the quote for Andy or the info for Andy.
Punching the guy that hurdles, I mean, he's just good at
right,
doing that.
Right.
You
that,
know?
To me, is a bounty yeah. thing. Going after a guy, even like in high school, if a guy, you know, slept with another guy, that's different than a bounty where it's just.
Right.
You get X for this player, you know. It's totally different.
But knocking quarterbacks out have always been an incentive,
right.
you know.
And I think a part of the game.
Yeah.
It's a part of the game if you're just hitting him legally and trying to hit him as hard as you can
right.
within
right.
the whistles. And
there's a difference there.
Yes.
You can hit a guy, you know, 100% cleanly and knock him out.
Right.
As opposed to, well, I'm going to have, you know, the guy's going to already throw the ball like that guy did to Jim McMahon that year when he just picked him up and threw him down
right.
on his shoulder. He ended up separating his shoulder.
Right.
That's, I'm trying to hurt this guy.
Correct.
And I'm going to do it with a cheap shot.
real quick, Fred, pleaded guilty in 1987 to charges of indecency with a 10-year-old girl.
There you go. Raphael Septian.
She was mature for her age.
But he, so in other words, he needed that blanket
and
party.
And he's European,
yes,
isn't
he's
he?
A bad... Oh, that doesn't make sense.
What is...
Jay writes in, I heard Tony Dungy being interviewed in The Host poo-pooed 1500 as being insignificant and hardly constituting enough to be considered a bounty. Dungy disagreed and told him about how in Tampa, the team didn't renew a sponsorship that happened to fetch the players free movie tickets on occasion. Dungy said they nearly had a mutiny on their hands. He mentioned one player who had just received a $75,000 bonus acting like it was the end of the world and what a hardship it was going to be. Tickets to the movies, that's crazy, but I can easily picture it. I can too.
Yes.
I can too.
I
these guys fight over free T-shirts.
I agree with Dungy. I think $1,500 for something like that, like Andy said, just the competitive nature, absolutely.
Yeah. So, again,
I'm just talking about the cap. It's an insignificant amount of money for cap circumvention. Did you hear the story this morning with Michael Lombardi?
No.
He was talking about, you know, he's made a big deal out of comparing this to Watergate and saying, you know, it's just like everything, you know, you follow the money.
Right.
Follow the money. And that's where you find out. He goes, well, this is going to go much deeper than even you think. He's like, he told a story when he was in Cleveland with Bill. That Reggie White came in, you know, I assume as a free agent, they tried to sign him, and they gave him a leather jacket. I assume it was some sort of Cleveland Browns leather jacket. It was $600, and they got slapped for it because they called it a cap circumvention.
Yeah.
Now I can understand what you would do, that you would have to do that as the NFL because, yeah, okay, this is $600 and it's irrelevant. But what's to stop the other team from giving them like a $1 million gift? Well, you didn't have to. They got away with it. Why can't I give them a more expensive? Now that's something,
right?
You know, like, the highest bidder. It's not really worrying about the cap. Yeah. You know, where does it stop? Well, I gave you a $1 million, you know, incentive fee to sign with me. I mean, where does it stop? So I understand why the NFL had to slap them, but it's not about the actual cap, the advantage they got from, you know, giving someone a $600 gift. There's no advantage to, if this was altogether worth $50,000.
Right, they have to make it black and white.
There's no cap advantage.
No, they have to just make it black and white to be easily enforced.
Exactly.
Todd writes in, I don't think the players involved in the bounty system should be penalized. They're just following orders and are so immersed in the locker room culture that it's not really their fault. You can really go back and say this guy got hurt by that guy because of a bounty and blame that player for something the organization was fostering. Now throw the book at the coaches, and if the owner was involved, throw the book even harder at him.
Oh, so if a gang member commits a murder, yeah, you can't blame the gang member for committing a murder. He was just caught up in the gang culture.
Right.
Well, that's baloney. You're responsible as an individual for your actions.
I do think everyone gets penalized, but his point that coaches and owners, if they're involved, they definitely should be penalized harder.
Yeah, I don't think players should be suspended for it. I don't.
Yeah. All right. We got a lot more emails to take, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Lunch is here, so give us a time to re-energize. We'll be right back.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, you caught me with my mouth full. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Derek from the University of Arizona is calling from class, so we have to be really quiet. Derek, how you doing?
Good, Jeff. How you doing?
I don't believe he's in class.
Yeah, but you can't be talking full, you know, full throat if you're in class.
I'm in the hallway, actually.
Oh, okay.
we're turning in a paper today, and I already finished, so that's right, Eric. I'm in class. I actually go sometimes.
Good. So what do you got for us?
I'm not listening live, obviously, but is Andy Paul there, too?
Yeah, sure. The whole gang's here.
Oh, nice.
We're here.
Right. Well,
but I'm not talking live.
I was going to go off my last email from what I wrote about Kreiner and Paul Eifling for Foles for you, too. In terms of Kreiner, Andy, that was a mistake on my part. I didn't mean he had, like, separation issues all over the field. I meant kind of just off the line, when he was, like, not in terms, you don't see a lot of bumping and running in college a ton of times, but, I was really impressed with him. If he was going to play outside the numbers and kind of be that number one receiver, if he in the late second round, early third, I think he's, like, he reminds me a lot of, Marcus Colston or Vincent Jackson, someone who's a bigger guy with not, like, crazy speed that has really good body control, really good hands. He can go up and make a play. And have you guys seen him, or what do you think about him?
Just started watching film today, actually, and started with the defensive line. So
right.
Haven't gotten to your boy Kreiner yet.
That's fine. I'll be able to go ahead and write up a count number email for the next 2 months until.
Right.
We'll be fine.
We'll definitely put him on the list.
Derek, we did give you props because the guys that you've liked have, you know, at least initially made a splash. Yeah, you were on Brooks. You were on Brooks Reed last year. And,
yep.
You know, we were kind of lukewarm on him, and he contributed. So we are not just missing your scouting abilities.
In terms of, well, thank you for that. But in terms of Reed, you know,
we are dismissing your academic
ones. I never
wanted
him in the first round. You know, like some people like said that he might. People thought he was going to go in the third. I just thought, well, watching him, you know, I think he can play, and that's the kind of feeling I get with Kreiner too. You know, Paul, you asked me about Foles after I had emailed in, and
I did.
You know, for in terms of Foles, just sort of his negatives, I guess. He's kind of a system quarterback, and he plays out of shotgun a lot. So, and he had like a really bad year in terms of like decision making. So, I guess my first worry would be that if he was going to like go somewhere, he's already having problems decision making. You know, when he's in the shotgun, what happens when he has to have, you know, do it under center?
Plus, he also fails Andy Hart's hair test for quarterbacks. He doesn't look good. He's got a bad hair look.
But he can cut his hair.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Well, you know,
that's the thing. At the combine, usually, like, Sam Bradford cleaned himself up. Andrew Luck cleaned himself up. Foles still looked like he rolled out of bed and was, like, from the frat house.
I did notice that Luck shaved, and I wonder if that was intentional.
I was very
impressed with how Foles presented himself. I haven't been overly impressed with him playing, and a lot of it is what you just talked about. But I was struck by how often he talked about his mechanics, and specifically his legs, his lower body. He doesn't always get, you know, we asked him some of the things he's working on. He said, you know, his hip turn and mechanically, he tends to break down a little bit with the lower body. And I'm wondering, he's a really, really big guy. What's he like, 6'5", 6'6"?
About 6'5", I think.
Yeah, he's a big guy. And I wonder if maybe he struggles with that because of it.
But I was going to say, I'm sure he's talking about that because he was in the gun and now he can't be. So you know, that's something that's new to him that he's going to have to work on is the mm-hmm. drop.
Right.
But he was talking more in terms of throwing, but you're probably right.
No, I know, but yeah. I think he's probably been asked and talked about with mm-hmm. NFL people. Well, you're in the gun a lot. You got to prove you can drop, and you already have questionable footwork to start with. Now we add this into that footwork. You know, is that a challenge you can get past?
Well, when I talked to John Rook, because I had talked to him last offseason about Foles, and I said he was like a second round guy. This year, he's probably more a third round guy. Maybe even fourth. I'm not really sure. I know his numbers were okay, but you know, 14 interceptions is just not.
Yeah, he seems like more of a project now than he did about a year ago.
Exactly, and I fully agree with that. And now he had a lot of short passes, but the thing I'll say about Foles is he's a nice guy. I've met him a number of times.
Yeah, very nice.
I've heard he's a hard worker, and when he doesn't throw the ball deep a ton, but when he's had to do it in really big games, he's done a really good job at doing it and getting the ball when he needs to, so I'll give him that. But the whole drops and the, you know, the system thing, that would bother, you know, that would bother me if I was an NFL team, but I don't know. That's just my 2 cents on that.
All right, Derek, thanks for calling in. That's our PFW Arizona scout.
Yep. All right. Just now he has to go back to class.
I wish he'd scout the women. Send us photos.
Jeez. Yeah, have to turn everything into that.
Yeah, if we were like Cincinnati, we could hire him as our Arizona scout because they probably don't pay a guy to actually go
right.
that far.
Speaking of which, Fred.
Yes.
I came across something that just amazes me this morning, and I can now not believe we lost to the New York Football Giants. Now, twice we've lost to them in the Super Bowl. The Giants, there was a story about our friends at Pro Football Focus, and the Giants actually use some of their stats or whatever. They have a relationship back and forth. That doesn't bother me as much. You know, okay, that's fine. They do hard work. Maybe they unearth some stats that the Giants didn't have. Whatever. But you know how they get in touch with Pro Football Focus? The guy who is their director of research or whatever sends them an email to have them call the Giants offices because the Giants' low-cost phone system doesn't allow them to call England, and that's where Pro Football Focus is based. You can't call England and you're the world frickin' champions?
Wow.
That's an embarrassment. An absolute embarrassment in this day and age.
Huh.
I can't believe it.
How did they make arrangements when they had to play in the International Series game in London a couple of years ago?
I don't know. You are so obsessed with London games.
Speaking of which, are we ready for that?
You just made a point about their England.
No,
so
I know.
Connecting the dots.
Maybe they
played
to have
in England.
The NFL. Maybe they called the NFL and had them like conference them into people in England. I just think they're the world freaking champions. They can build a $1 billion stadium. They can have Eli Manning making $100 million, and you can't get a phone system where you can just dial a freaking country code and call England, not England. Bergman.
And everything's monitored, so you don't really have to worry about people just doing it because you'll know.
Right. Yeah, you know. It's so ridiculous. And we lost to them, Fred. We lost.
Eric's song.
What the hell is this? So, Eric, it's time now for
Fred wants me to do a London update.
It's time now for our London update, which we'll be doing once a week.
Yeah.
So what is your London update for this week?
Well, it's something that's actually going to be in this week's PFW as well. It's going to be you saw it in the clipboard section, or you will see it. You guys already saw it.
Good Lord, just say it.
The most popular player among UK fans of NFL football is
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, that's right. And this was 3 years running now. Tom Brady has been the most popular player among NFL fans there. And this most recent one was taken at a poll of about 2,000 or 3,000 fans at the Bears-Bucks game.
You wrote 2,000.
Okay, that's what it was then. I'm going off the top of my head. I don't remember exactly.
Me too. That. I didn't write it. I just read it.
You probably just read it this morning.
No.
Anyway.
Yesterday.
So for 3 years running, Brady has kept the top spot as the favorite player in the UK.
But he's lost popularity since 2 years ago.
A little bit.
Was at 37% in 2009 when
That's right. That was when we played there. So obviously he's going
to
get a little bit of boost. And Wes Welker was also in the top 10.
Right. No longer.
No longer, but I think that'll probably change this year now that the Patriots are going back.
It was
there.
Heavily slanted to the Bears because there were three.
There was
Matt Forte,
Cutler,
was Forte, and Hester were all in the top 10.
They'll
be out this year once we're there.
And Patriots fans will be happy to know that Peyton Manning has steadily dropped in the fan poll over there as well. He was, I believe, number two to Brady 3 years ago.
They were neck and neck, but now. Well, if they were really neck and neck, he'd win that race. Yeah. I can't wait to go back. I know that we're going to reach out to the sports cafe again.
Oh, good.
Maybe I'll be able to get in this time.
without fighting the guy.
No, I thought that was a great venue.
It was.
Oh, it was. Once the doorman got the hell out of the way.
Yeah. Well,
did you have problems there?
We did. Tough guy doorman would let the three of us in.
Well, it was tough. He was just trying to do his job.
And we told him that we were
trying to do ours. I know, but he doesn't know that. I had to intervene.
He wouldn't even get
Andy
though. We
needed
said Fred
time
Kirsch.
To get behind the red velvet
ropes.
I was
very busy. We were throwing your name around saying, just get Fred out here. He's our boss. We need to get in. This is just step to the side. Step to the side, please.
He was under a lot of pressure. There was a big, you know.
Trying to plan a little outing on that Saturday, too. For any of the fans in the UK who are interested.
Tweet up?
Well, just like a little sightseeing outing.
A little tweet up in England, will you?
Well, that was a wicked googly.
And a total side note, we were discussing this, if we went for a week or not a week, last time we only went for Thursday, blah, blah, blah. But our friend No Socks claims he's never heard of seen Stonehenge. Never heard of it.
Well, no, he said he'd heard of it vaguely on
only
the periphery.
Only because of that stupid movie or something, because a band
was
named after
Spinal
it.
Tap.
That's the only connection he's
ever. He'd never seen a picture of
like,
Stonehenge until
Why
we showed him the other
what
day.
What do people care about? I don't.
We were trying to tell him like that it ranks alongside like the Colosseum, the pyramids, like as far as things.
But it's
that,
even more mystical.
Machu Picchu.
Well, in terms of mysteries, yes. In
yeah.
Terms
yeah.
Of, yeah. Absolutely.
Right. And he had never
I don't
seen
buy
a picture
it.
Of it before.
I think he's lying. I think he's full of it. I don't buy it.
But he went on for about a half an hour with us about
it. Well, that means he's a good, dedicated liar. I don't buy that someone can make it through however 45 years of life and have
but
never
he said
seen
it's not
Stonehenge.
His thing, like the whole mysticism thing.
It's
and
not
like
my
the,
thing.
Yeah, that wasn't his thing. That's what he said.
What, the world and just aspects of the world that are everywhere?
Being inquisitive?
I don't even care if he cares about
it. Can you imagine being mocked by Andy Hart for not knowing something?
There was a Phineas and Ferb about Stonehenge. It pops up everywhere in movies, action movies. Every once in a while, there'll be like a Superman battle, and they'll knock it over.
Right.
I mean, how do you not see it?
I don't know.
A guy's in the media.
I don't know.
Have you heard if we're going for a week?
I don't know why I am.
If we go for a week, will Paul and I go?
Yes.
Okay. Because I kind of want to go.
Well, you'll have to. I mean, that's where the news is.
How are we going to be our radio?
We'd have to figure something out.
We've already started working on that. We're in touch with people.
Oh,
we can do an ISD in line. We might have one at our disposal.
Well, the Wembley has very nice...
the Wembley?
Very nice facilities. Maybe we could do it from there. You know, we could find a room or something.
Get a room.
You know?
I'd rather do it from
the bathrooms are really nice in Wembley. You could do it from the bathroom.
Were they?
Ironically.
Oh, yeah. They were very
that.
Nice bathrooms in Wembley.
I was nice
very
stadium.
Impressed.
It was a great stadium.
Yeah, really
definitely
is.
Top five NFL stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Will we stay at the same hotel?
I have no idea. It's freaking March.
I just found my key to the hotel. Do you remember your key
the
to
Grosvenor?
The hotel? It was like a key, like a plastic.
Hello, Grosvenor.
Key. I found it in my bag the other day. It was at the bottom of my
bag. I got mine,
still.
Too.
Did you really?
Todd writes in about the bounty. He wants to know, is it different if it's a player-run system that the team and staff doesn't know about opposed to a team-slash-coaching-staff-run system? I think, yes, it makes a huge difference.
Well, both are illegal.
Right.
But, yes, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
As far as who gets in trouble.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah. And as far as how bad it is. I mean, this was endorsed and created by the head of the defense and seemingly endorsed by the head coach and the GM as well.
And
maybe the
allegedly
owner.
When he was head coach, too.
Right.
When he was with the Bills.
Paul's just mad because he tried to hurt Drew.
Kyle writes in.
He got the last laugh, didn't he?
It was reported today.
Drew.
Andy, you mentioned this earlier. It was reported today that Randy Moss will be visiting New Orleans and one or two other teams to work out in the next week or so. I know a lot of anti-Randy Moss sentiment exists on PFW, but do you want to see him at least work out for New England so Bill can see what he has to offer and then go from there?
No.
There's no harm in that.
No.
And if Bill feels he can still play, then maybe the Patriots bring him back for next year. If it is clear he can no longer perform, then that's the end of it.
No. You can't go home again.
Yeah, I don't
enough.
Part of it is my doubt that he would look decent in a workout.
Oh yeah,
I don't have any doubt about that.
He's a freakish athlete. You don't become one of literally the greatest athletes to ever walk the planet, and he's in that whatever the number is, top 100, whatever it is. I mean, the guy was Mr. Basketball and Mr. Football. He is a great natural athlete. You don't lose that overnight. It's not like he weighs 300 pounds now and can't run. I don't think he can still be an elite deep threat in the NFL. But the issue is, everyone says, you know, I heard. Somebody talking this morning, Brian Billick. He thinks with New Orleans, okay, maybe it'll work. If he understands what his role is and he's paid accordingly and he just kind of falls in line, it's a great offense if he fills, that's fine. But I don't think you can come back here because if he comes back here, this is the place where he was the show. I don't think you can. It's almost like a guy who's the head coach coming back as the coordinator. I think that's hard to do. You can't take that step back in the same place with the same people.
Didn't Ted Marchibroda do it with the Colts?
Maybe. It can work occasionally.
He went back as the head coach.
But he went back as the coordinator, too.
I don't know. I didn't say it could never work. I don't think this would work.
I just don't think it's fair to either party because I don't think the Patriots are interested in having him back. So to go through the dog and pony show, unless you really are saying, look, if this guy looks good, we're going to sign him. Unless you're saying that, don't even bother.
Right. I would just go with don't even bother because I don't think they have any interest in him.
Yep.
Nor should they. Move on. On a side topic, the diva receiver we still have, did you see that he got pissed on by a lion?
I heard about it. He was at a party, and the lion spray urinated.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
And he allowed himself to be urinated on.
Kind of. Isn't that like when cats mark their territory?
Right.
So he was marking Ocho Cinco as his territory?
I guess. I mean, but, you know, how many opportunities in life do you have to be?
Where was he at a party where there was a lion?
I think maybe that's something, you know?
I don't know. Florida, I assume.
He had Darrell Revis. One of those crazy parties that
you can
rent like things to be at your party.
One of our Super Bowl parties had him.
Had a lion?
I don't know if it was a lion, but it had animals.
Where the hell were you? What are you talking about?
We definitely one of our Super Bowl parties had animals.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville because I wasn't there.
Maybe they had Jaguars.
I was going to go with Arizona.
No.
In the corners of that. One of them had it.
Arizona, we were in a hotel room.
Okay, it might have been Jacksonville. I don't know. We were in a hotel room in Arizona?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
I thought we were,
in the big ballroom.
We're at a horse farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was for the welcome party.
That was
That was in the after party.
That's what he was talking about. The welcome party.
Yeah.
One of the Thursday night parties at a Super Bowl.
It was at a horse farm.
No. There was one that had, like, birds, lions, tigers, weird things in the corners with people, like, who's that guy that always goes on the late night TV shows? Jack Hanna? Whatever.
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, that was.
No, I know I'm right.
That was at Arizona at the welcome party.
They were in the
they had.
Well, I'm not.
That was at the horse ranch.
Yeah, but I think they had
in the corners of the room.
Yeah, I think they had other animals.
They had cages
there.
With lizards. Yeah. Might have been a big Komodo dragon. There was some sort of a cat.
It was
I believe.
So cold there. I don't think we lasted long enough to go pay attention to them.
I know. It was colder in Arizona than it was in Indy. That is amazing.
It was.
It's too bad, because that would have been a really nice party in warm weather.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, yes, at parties they do have sometimes these exotic animals. You can rent them out. And
Fred will be happy to rent you some alpacas.
Yep.
Now, do they pee on receivers?
No.
But, yeah, it was out there. He tweeted all about it, and Darrell Revis was with him.
Really?
Which I found somewhat interesting.
Huh. Anyway, so that's interesting.
It is so random, though, to literally say, I got peed on by a tiger or lion. How many people have said that?
And do you like just stay for the party after that, or do you have to immediately wash up?
Are you sure he wasn't saying he got peed on by the Bengals when he was there? Or?
I'm pretty sure.
Because I would imagine that stinks, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because even little cats stink.
Right.
I can imagine it must stink more from a big cat.
Right.
Plus, there's more of it. Even if he pees a little, comparatively, that's a lot of pee.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh.
Adam in Connecticut says that there's a major issue.
Better to get pissed off than pissed on. Oh!
He wants to talk about a major issue. After listening to all of the recent shows, one thing that has been driving me nuts,
Andy,
is the obsession with getting the offense some help. This isn't coming from you guys, but the bonehead callers and emailers. We have a top three offense and a bottom three defense, so naturally everyone assumes we need to improve the offense. Seriously? With Mario Williams out there, all I hear is Vincent Jackson and Mike Wallace or trading up for Floyd or any other deep threat receiver. Come on. Our pass coverage looks like a welter out there. Word of the day reference. Welter. But yet, let's get V-Jax or Wallace. Sorry, I had to vent. Great show.
I agree with it.
I agree, too, but I will, I guess I'll champion the cause of the bonehead listeners.
You would.
For a second. There's no argument to be made that there are not more holes on defense, probably, you know, the higher needs. But I do think in this particular draft and free agency with the preponderance, how's that, Eric, of wide receivers available.
Where's Chris Gasper when I need
him? For both, free agents and the draft, I don't want to move up. I don't want to trade up to get a wide receiver. But at 27 or 31, if you've identified whatever that is that you like about these guys, I wouldn't be opposed. I really wouldn't. I know the defense needs more help. I understand that. But you can also maybe add that extra piece to your offense that makes you unstoppable.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe.
There is no offense that's unstoppable.
But you know what
I'm
saying?
We learned that in 07.
I think that this offense, as good as it is, has been consistently shut down in the playoffs. Five of the last six or six of the last seven playoff games, they've scored 21 points or fewer.
Right, but included in that is the best offense ever, right? You think 2007 was the best offense ever.
Right.
And they got shut down.
So you think it's impossible to score more than 21 points?
Well, I don't know. You've deemed that the best ever.
So well, it's the best I've seen.
Are you going to get better than Moss?
It's a little early, by the way. It's only 126.
But are you going to get better?
We usually don't start this until 150.
Are you going to get better than Moss? Because Moss was great that year. He was unearthly.
No, but...
Otherworldly.
But can't you get somebody
that's... Not toward the end of that season.
Yes, he was. Are you kidding me?
At the end of 07?
Moss?
In the playoffs.
Was terrific. You don't remember the last game of the year?
No, in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, he caught the game-winning touchdown pass.
I know, but I'm just... Numbers-wise.
Should have been the game-winning touchdown pass.
I thought the offense kind of really... Except for that Giants game.
The offense... But that's my point. They slowed down.
But that's my point.
But it's not because
of Moss. No
matter
how good it is, it's going to slow down. And until you get a better defense, that slowdown will kill you.
But I'm not saying
and
that...
And you're using... I agree with the idea...
First of all, I started this whole thing by saying I'm trying to champion the quote-unquote bonehead's cause.
Here's the thing about that Giants game. I think even if you had another receiver, if they didn't allow Brady to have time, it wouldn't have mattered.
That one, not this one.
Right.
The,
but what about the San Diego game in the playoffs that year?
That would have been different.
What was the reason why they only scored 21 in that game?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because offenses get slowed in the postseason, and you need a defense to win. That's why they need to go after Mario Williams.
I think
thank
you,
you
need,
for the questions.
You need a defense to win. I don't think you need a great defense.
But the Patriots don't have a
I
defense.
I agree. And that's why
they have an albatross.
You don't listen to everything that I say.
I heard you say you want to use a first-round pick on a wide receiver.
I said I wouldn't be opposed.
I would be opposed.
You would be opposed if whatever the guy is that you deem
Stephen
the great.
Hill.
If A.J. Green was available at 27, you'd be opposed.
No, not
well,
A.J. Green.
Maybe they feel that strongly about Michael Floyd.
But that's a different argument because A.J. Green was clearly elite, and it was a year where there weren't a lot of elite. You know, even some people thought Julio Jones was elite.
But,
I don't agree
but
with
this
that.
Year there's a lot of guys that
exactly.
are really good. So maybe the guy that you think is the best is available at 27.
Or
your A.J. Green might be available at 27
10 guys in the draft
the other teams
that are
might
good,
disagree with
and
you.
There's 10 guys in free agency that are good. You're probably going to get a receiver that's good.
No.
You don't need to value it. If you use your first
no,
pick,
but you,
you've used a commodity on
you,
something
you
that
I don't,
always
but I don't want to use a first-round pick on just another receiver. I want to identify what I think is the best receiver, the A.J. Green of last year.
See,
if I think A.J. Green is available at 27, I wouldn't be opposed. I can't make an argument
against your theory.
Unless you tell
they
me
have to
there
put
are
the
no
resources into defense.
Good defensive
right.
players available, then I want you taking the good defensive player.
I want to disappoint everybody listening because I can't get an argument with Andy on this.
The show's not over yet.
He's right. No, you're right.
I'm a snide remark away from reeling you in.
But you know what I feel about the defense. So
you like it, apparently, because
right.
you want to add to the offense.
Andy's right.
Snide remark
no, but
one.
I think it really does come down to value. If you have a guy that's valued in the top 12 and you're sitting at 27
that's my point.
And he's available, you kind of have to take
well,
him.
Well, those pie-in-the-sky scenarios, that's not going to happen.
Well, but that's it happens
but why
sometimes.
Not?
But how do you know there's also not a defensive player who was valued in the top 12?
Okay, then you take him.
If they think like that, I would rather
right.
take the defensive
right.
player.
There's not going to – I mean, who's valued in the top 10 is going to slide?
Well, why, Warren
why,
Sapp.
Why all of a sudden a hypothetical
is
off the table? Whoa. Eric, comment.
I mean, you're dealing
I'm
with,
like Bill Belichick. I'm
not dealing
big
with
on
Andy. He's not big
but
on logic
we're just
logic
sort of
either.
Talking about different things.
This is illogical.
Can you get
if
over
if you tell me Randy Moss is available at 27, yes, Paul, well, I will take him.
Where was Dan Marino taken?
27, I believe.
There you go.
Can you get over the top?
Now we're taking a quarterback?
No, players who are, you know.
Transcendental players that
right.
are available at the end of the first round.
Right.
It's not impossible.
What'd he ever win? Proving my point. You need a
oh,
defense.
For God's sake. What a
here we
Drew Brees was a second round pick.
Right.
Well, Tom Brady was a six-round pick.
But it all gets back
what
to...
What the hell's the point
no,
of this
but,
conversation?
But it all gets back to where your
Turn
value
you can
board
get your,
has it.
Your voice to go
you know,
a little
if
higher.
If you trust your scouts and you trust your value board, and he's available
Which
way
sure they
below
don't do
where
that.
You have him valued, you should take him. You should take him, offense or defense.
And then you can keep losing.
No, but my point...
This defense doesn't get better. They're not going to win.
Andy, let me
and
ask
And I know
you.
They were one catch away from
and,
winning.
And
let me ask
we all
you.
Agree with that. That's no doubt.
Well, that's why I say no matter how right. much people probably... Right. You know, some people probably want me and Andy to go at it right here, and some people I would say, please don't.
A lot of people probably say, please don't.
But we can't, because I agree with Andy. You have to get better on defense in order to get over the top. But
the email
again,
is right. All the talk is offense, or the bulk of the
There's a lot of talk about wide
offense.
Receivers. It's
and not
unbelievable.
Not just us. Even nationally.
It's unbelievable.
You know, who should get who? Mike Wallace to the Patriots is...
I
why
think
is
Brandon
Mario
Lloyd,
Williams
Mike Wallace,
I think
not
the,
reason the
why, I think the reason why is because...
Offense sells.
You know, no. It, well...
Sexy.
Well, last year we talked all about pass rushers on this show and our emailers and callers. I think this year the reason why is... We just came off where we did underscore, and I think people identify that's the one thing you need on offense. So you take care of that, and then everything else is defense. But I think they think if you can get that one piece, it's easily identifiable as terms of a need.
Yeah,
let's
but,
do it.
But you
I
know
would
what?
Say the same thing for Mario Williams. Yeah. That you can argue.
Because we're not
an
talking
edge
about
a player who's 27 right. years old, who can get to the quarterback, who can play in a 4-3
but,
and a 3-4.
But you notice,
to me, he's the perfect Patriot.
But when we're talking about, we're not talking about running backs, even though you could argue that that could be upgraded. We're not talking about, you know, smaller receivers. We're talking about that outside guy
sexy.
Who's a big guy.
Yeah, but it's but the argument, the counter argument there, Fred, is in 2007 they had the best offense of all time.
With
and
the
they,
best outside guy
and,
of all time.
And they underscored in the Super Bowl.
Right. Right. So you need a defense.
You need a defense.
But they only gave up 17 points.
So
no,
based,
I know.
So
that
based,
was 17 too
this
many.
This is where we all jump sides on our argument.
Right.
Because you hate the defense because they gave up the touchdown.
Plus, you can't base it on one game.
I hate the offense because they underscored. Right. I blame the
look,
offense for that loss.
But my point in that particular game in 07 was I don't care if you put the greatest Jerry Rice on the team. If you're going to let them run free at your quarterback, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That was a breakdown and protection.
So we should draft a guard.
No.
All right, let me just kind of end this with. I want to ask you a question. Is it possible?
No.
Possible. Okay.
ask the question.
That you say or you can't win it without the defense. Is it not possible to improve your offense just a little bit more, and that puts you over the top, no matter how bad you are?
Possible. They if Wes Welker if Brady makes a good throw. They may have won the Super Bowl,
right?
With the worst defense I've ever seen.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, anything's possible.
But
I'm just talking
but
about
I think that's
making
why
it easier.
Again, I agree with you. They need to get better on defense. But I think that's why a lot of people are talking about the wide receivers because, number one, there's a lot of talent that's available, both through the draft and free agency. And number two, they look at it and they say, we have been able to get by with this bad defense for 4 years now. And we're finding a way to win games.
Get by.
I mean, it's very hard to make the
I'd
argument.
Like to get by with a ring on my finger.
But it's very hard to make the argument that they didn't win the Super Bowl in 07 and in 11 because of that bad defense.
Right.
And I think that's what those people, the devil, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. That's what right. those people are, I think, are pointing to. If we can just get a little bit better on offense now, not in 07, now, I mean, Fred, you made the comment about you get a running back, and, you know, because you could use an upgrade. Well, the wide receiver that they're looking for, the outside deep threat wide receiver, is not an upgrade over what you have.
Right.
It's an addition of something you don't have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. They have running backs that have been
they don't
serviceable.
Have that.
They
don't have
They do
anymore.
Not have an Vincent outside, Jackson.
Right. Yeah, but they also don't have
Waltz.
Mario Williams.
No, that's a good point. And I absolutely would make the argument that you made about Mario Williams. I think that's
perfect.
I think 100%. He's a perfect Patriot.
If you had
except for that, he'll cost a lot of money.
Mike Wallace is perfect since Adelis Thomas.
Except for that, he'll cost you about $80 million.
If you had Mike Wallace and Mario Williams,
no, I'm just
we
saying,
all said that we would take Mario Williams over Mike Wallace.
Right.
And look, if we had Larry Fitzgerald or Mario Williams, I think I'd still take Mario Williams.
Me too. Because as I said a couple weeks ago, I think this offense, as it is, will be a top five offense. You know, if you bring back Branch, you bring back Welker, you bring back the two tight ends, and you have some jag other receiver, whether it's Ocho or somebody else, I think you're going to probably be, with Brady, a top five offense. I don't know how much better that can get.
I would agree with that, except
but I also
for that
think if you bring back this defense, you'll be a bottom two defense.
But I do think that you will struggle against certain defenses that you don't face a lot during the season.
Right.
But, you know, but getting back to the whole thing, I just think that with the depth at wide receiver in this draft, if it so happens that a guy that you have rated drops because other teams have him valued differently, you take him.
Well, in general, that's always the theory.
Right.
No matter what your need, I mean, if Andrew Luck is there at 27, you probably got to take him.
But
I think. Now I get a well.
I think you're kind of ruling that out.
You wouldn't take Andrew Luck at
27? No,
I think
I
would.
I think you're kind of ruling out.
Brady, you got two more years and then.
It sounded to me like you were ruling out, you know, unless it was that drastic example that you just gave.
Oh, I am. If it's anywhere near close, if it's a receiver that I think is going to be a Pro Bowl receiver, but I have a few doubts.
Right.
Or, Merciless,
edge rusher,
who I think is
going
to be good, but I have some doubts.
You got to go defense.
I go defense. Okay. I need to be.
That's fair.
I need to be knocked down by the offense. Maybe
but that's what I was trying
Trent
to
Richardson.
Say.
Trent Richardson. Say he slips.
Yeah.
Some people think he's a top five talent. Now I see mocks where he goes mid-teens, almost.
Someone had him with the Jets.
If
Pat Kerwin.
Yeah, if he goes to, if he fell to us, I'd have to think about it because I think he's elite.
Okay.
Truly elite.
But that's kind of what I was trying to. The picture I was trying to paint. If
few
the
and
guy,
far between the chances.
But if the guy that you identified is the best wide receiver, he's a can't-miss guy in my mind. Now, listen, it comes down to your evaluation. You got to be right. But if I think that wide receiver is the best wide receiver I've seen in the draft, and he's available at 27, I wouldn't be opposed to taking it.
Yeah, but he's not in this draft.
I don't know why you won't
play.
Well,
that's pretty much universally.
But you're the king
Blackman,
of playing these games, and
Justin
all of a sudden
Blackman's
you won't play.
Justin Blackman's not as good as Calvin Johnson or A.J. Green or any of those guys. He's good. But he's not, no question. I mean, Calvin Johnson is the poster child for.
No, but
there wasn't a single question about him. He is elite. He'll walk in elite. He'll work. He goes to Africa and creates septic systems for poor people. He was
not confusing with Tim Tebow. No,
well, that's what he did.
Don't be ridiculous.
No, I'm pretty sure he went to Africa and did septic systems for poor people.
Tim Tebow
circumcised kids.
Built a hospital in the Philippines.
Tim Tebow Hospital in the Philippines.
Did you hear the Bachelor is trying to get Tim Tebow to be on the show, to be the Bachelor?
He's going to say no, isn't he?
That'd be terrible.
Because
he would spend the whole show.
He wouldn't even kiss anybody.
Like, no,
the whole show
would
be sponsored by Christian
he'd
Mingle.
He'd be preaching to the girls like why they need to clean up their lives.
Yeah, have some
you don't need to be on TV to be searching for a man. You don't need a man to complete your life. Maybe Tim Tebow needs a man to complete his life. Maybe he should be on The Bachelorette.
A little five-hour energy for lunch, huh?
No, it's those cookies. Those cookies are really the best thing ever. I mean, do you guys like those as much as I do?
They're good.
They're good.
I think when they are warm, when they first get here and they're like
soft,
they
go in moist.
Bags of sand.
Cortez writes in, the shortcomings of our offense in crunch time is due to our lack of a running game. The Patriots need to work on the running game during the regular season
the
at the risk of losing a couple games. This will pay dividends when we make it to the postseason and need to run time off the clock versus quality teams.
See, Trent Richardson is a draft.
That hasn't hurt the production of the offense, the inability to close out a game.
Well, they were up 17-9, weren't they?
No, but so they needed to run the ball in the third quarter? That's why
they could have.
I mean, whatever way you want to produce the points, I don't care. But I don't think that the lack of a running. I mean,
were they up 17-9? Because I just pulled that out of my ass.
Yes,
yeah, they were up 17-9.
Third quarter.
And then
that's rare for me.
They scored to go up 17-9, and then the other team took the ball immediately, went down the field, and kicked the field goal to make it 17-12.
Right. When you want to draft a receiver instead of a defense that could have stopped them from driving down the field.
Again, I'm going to reiterate that I agree with you that the larger issues
it's
with
coming.
New
I'm telling you, I can get him into a fight before
are on
the show's
defense.
Over.
You're not going to get me to fall off of that one.
Larry writes in, when I
so
was...
So you think Gostowski's got it in him, Andy? That's my favorite. I'll go to my grave remembering that.
That was. Have we talked about that on the show?
Yes, we
when
talked
I
about
lost, I pulled a
You were
NFL,
like Belichick against the Eagles. Do I know the score? Why aren't they hurrying up?
I was actually going to go the other way. I pulled an Andy Reid, and I lost track of the situation.
Do you think Gostowski's got it in him? Got what? A four-point field goal? No, I don't, actually.
Andy looked at me like I had 10 heads.
Well, I just for you, because you are like the...
Well, explain the situation.
I evidently we did. I'm a little old. I forget these things.
But he's so emphatic about time management.
Oh, yeah.
I am. That's
and
a
late
big
game
you're
awareness.
Right.
And he turns to me and he goes, so you think Gostowski's going to get it? I'm like,
I thought
21-17.
What are you talking about?
For some reason, the whole time that the Giants were inside the 10, I kept thinking we were going to stop them and make them kick a field goal, and then a field goal was going to win it.
Right.
So I had that in my head, and right. I just completely lost track. It was. Andy's absolutely right. It's very out of character for me. Much like booking a plane flight.
Oh, yeah.
For 7:50 a.m., and I inadvertently did so for 7:50 p.m.
Showed up at the airport, all ready to
go. I was only 13 hours early for my flight.
Right. So you know what he did. He sat there all day drinking Miller Lights at the airport bar.
I did not.
On his way to...
I was taken care of very nicely.
There you go.
Very nicely by JetBlue. Nice woman. Easily switched my seats from one flight.
He was taken care of by JetBlue.
To the other flight. And I got on at 9 a.m. and I only had to wait an extra hour, which was nice.
Yeah,
one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, it's up there. PM means something.
Larry says...
As my father pointed out, just so you know, Paul, AM and PM in this country, there's a difference.
If we were on military time, you wouldn't have had that problem.
One of the dumbest things you've ever done?
One of the dumbest things I've ever done.
Second only to actually going to the tournament?
Ah, good, Eric.
One of the funniest things he's ever said.
Good, Eric. Larry said, when I was a kid, my mom and aunt got peed on by a lion. It was like getting hit by a hose. It's very powerful. We all laughed till we fell down until we had to get in the car with them. It smells.
Now, do you have to do anything special to get pee off? Pee smell?
Like bathe in tomato juice,
or something
or
like that? I don't know. He didn't really. How did they get peed on by a lion? Why are all these people around big cats?
They spray. And then you get the monkeys throwing their feces at you.
He threw his feces at me.
No, but what do you mean they spray?
They spray.
Spray. From how far away?
Oh, it's like a hose.
Oh, they spray.
I've never seen it. I've been to a lot of zoos.
Oh, I've seen it.
You've seen them spray people?
Not at people, but in their...
Do they lift their leg like a dog?
No, I mean, they just kind of like shake their butt and it goes all over the place.
I might have to Google this later. Lions peeing.
Simon says, if you're coming to the UK for a week, may I suggest Manchester, 2 hours on the train from London. I run a bar there and PFW staff drinks for free.
Oh,
and he lives near the Ye Olde Cock Inn. So
thanks for looking up for PFW.
Just make sure they have cold Miller Lite. And if you don't have it, bring it in for the week and Paul will be there.
Are you allowed to bring that? Can you check like a case of Miller Lite on the plane? Excuse me, security, where do I bring this?
You know, it's funny. A bunch of the students, you know, get a little bit less, you know, disposable income. So they
went
out
to the school.
They went out to the liquor store.
How many students go?
Not many.
Not as many.
Maybe about 100.
His family.
So
that's a lot.
There's a few of them that, you know, they went out to a liquor store and they got some, you know, 40 packs or whatever. I don't know what they were. But their hotel was not right downtown where we were. So they bought it, and they really didn't have any way to put it. So they were like, can we leave the I'm like, yeah, no. I'm not on spring break. You're not putting the beer in my tub. I don't know.
It wasn't Miller Lite, was it?
Oh, Paul was in the tub at the time.
Of course it was. It was Miller Lite. But, you don't spend any time in your room. You're either at the games or at the bar.
I don't know. I've never been to Loserpalooza.
Loserpalooza. Just so you know, Andy, I know like you like to... I told Eric and Maura yesterday, you like to know when I'm actually drunk. Friday night, I was drunk.
Science! Yeah.
To which, you know, Fred pointed it out on
was
on
your
Twitter.
Brother drunk, too?
No, I don't think
you
so.
You were tweeting while drunk?
No, he was.
Oh.
I wasn't drunk.
You were drunk?
No, Fred was tweeting while I was drunk.
Sounds like an Abbott and Costello thing. Jay says, according to Pro Football Talk, Freeney could be out in Indianapolis.
Well, they invested in Mathis, so.
So
would you take Franny?
Sure. Sure, yeah, it's an upgrade.
Not as a lot, though. I mean,
No, not
he's
for a lot.
He's not Mario Williams. No.
I'd rather have Mario Williams. If you can't get Mario Williams, then
I mean,
Franny
is an undersized pass rush specialist in this system who...
Right. He is the typical does-one-thing guy.
I love Franny.
And Colt.
Yeah.
That defense.
But, yeah, he doesn't have all of the traits that Williams has to be able to do all those different things.
Right.
I mean, Franny is not dropped in coverage or, you know, made those kinds of plays against the run. He's strictly a small, undersized, fast pass rusher. He's great.
Even if he's healthy, though, I'm only giving him two years, $8 million
or something. Plus, he's old now.
Mario Williams, I'm willing to $100 million. You write out the contract, and I'll
Williams
okay
in the prime of his career. It's a home run all around.
Andrew writes in, earlier in the season, Andy,
yeah,
on one of the pregame socials, you referred to Mario Williams as slow and overrated or unimpressive and didn't think he would pass the eye test. Yeah, what have you seen that changed your mind since he was injured?
Yeah, I don't think I ever said that. I want proof.
I don't know.
I know you don't know, nor do I.
Doesn't really sound like something Andy would say.
No, it doesn't at all.
Let's see. Sam in Chicago says that
I do remember
male lions
one...
will spray urine to mark their territory. Lions kept in cages for display purposes seem to develop a warped sense of entertainment, as I have seen them spray zoo patrons through the bars for no apparent reason. And if the air currents are right, I can see someone standing 60 feet away getting some of the substance on them. It is not like a stream of urine, but more like an aerosol spray.
Whoa. So is it urine?
Probably because a mix of
some cats
yeah
when they mark their it's
musk
not just urine. Yeah, it's a different
like
odor. Mm. It's not just pee. It's,
right.
There's something else in it.
Right.
But 60 feet, that's a long way. And I like these lions if they truly get joy out of peeing on customers. That's
the Andy Hart of the animal
yes
world.
That's my kind of lion.
I'm going to keep that in mind next time I'm at a zoo or something.
Wear a raincoat,
yeah.
It's like going to a Gallagher show. Andy doesn't know what we're talking about.
He's the guy that smashes pumpkins.
No. Wow.
Watermelons.
Watermelons.
I thought that was Carrot Top.
No, Carrot Top is the juiced up comedian
yeah
who uses props.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen Carrot Top lately? I mean,
he is
freakishly
weird looking.
Yes.
Alone.
Oh, yeah. Scary, like, yeah, disgusting. Kind of like Jay Glazer. That's my random shot of the day.
who just tweeted, by the way, hearing from multiple sources regarding Randy Moss' workout today, he lit it up. Was told he ran about 45 routes and, quote, looked like the old Randy.
Oh, God.
Doesn't he
here
have
we
a,
go.
Isn't he tied with the Saints somehow?
Jay Glazer?
Yeah.
Because
yeah
everybody was ripping him because when this broke, he was kind of quiet.
Well, what did the agent, his name's escaping me. What's his agent? Randy's. Because that's the thing you got to look for, not his connection to the Saints.
Joel
Siegel?
Siegel, right?
What are we talking about?
Randy Moss's agent.
Randy Moss's agent. It's Joel Siegel?
I guess.
So.
Does he have a connection to Glazer? Because that's the connection you need. The Saints are irrelevant unless they sign Moss.
Yeah.
And then he'll be trumpeting the signing because of his relationship with the Saints.
Right. But I was just saying, I didn't even know he had a relationship with the Saints until everybody was ripping him for being quiet on this Fountain Gate story.
I didn't know he had a relationship.
What relationship does he have?
He's probably involved with the Bounty.
He's very shady.
Does he train some of them or
probably
something?
He trains a lot of players.
Yeah.
And he's got that perfect punch or something thing that's his.
I take his scoops very seriously because I know how tapped in he is with players, but he's very shady.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, though. It's not just him. They're all Dion. There's all these crossing relationships and business interests, and it ain't right.
Let's see. Tim writes in
bringing
regards...
those home for later.
Tim from Pensacola.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
He didn't order like five extra sandwiches today, so he's giving people cookies.
Oh, okay.
A shot across the bow.
Wow.
Now he's just going to pretend he can't hear you and
right,
yawn.
Yeah.
He's so predictable.
Tim from Pensacola, in regards to the Saints Bounty Gate scandal, I believe the commissioner should hand out the following punishment. Suspend Greg Williams for the 2012 season. Suspend the Saints GM and head coach Peyton half a season. Strip the Saints of their 2012 and 2013 franchise tag. Strip the Saints of their second and third round pick this year and first round pick next year. The punishment may seem harsh, but I believe it's fair to all sides.
Of course you do.
Well, there is elements to the penalty. It's individual and then team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both apply here. You know, the team will get hurt and individuals will get hurt.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't think that punishment seems a little harsh? Three draft picks, plus you're taking away their coach. That's team. That's not individual. That's team.
I'm all right.
That's going to be tough. How do you suspend a GM? What's, you know?
Well, you don't let him work in the league.
I'm talking about the head coach.
No, I know.
You're suspending him for half the year. That's not an individual suspension. That's a team suspension.
That's true. But if he was involved personally, then
half a season?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Why don't you just tell them they can't play the next 2 years?
Maybe you just fine them $750,000 or something. I don't know.
Plus, you can't take away their franchise tag. They already used it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just if you're going to do that, just tell them that they can't play the next 2 years.
Do you think
make it like the NCAA? You're out. Postseason banned.
Do you think anything should happen to Peyton personally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what?
Probably
a money fine.
He should be fined, and if you want to suspend him, 4 games I think is
4 games
is pretty stiff. I mean, you know, half a season, but he should get fined. Absolutely.
I think this is all crazy talk,
and I also don't know what he knew. I need to, you know, I'm sure Goodell does.
Yeah. Right.
So that's different.
To me, that is way overboard, what he just proposed. And I know everybody says it's going to be higher than Spygate and blah, blah, blah. To me, that is ridiculous.
That's about 8 Spygates. The description of that right there is about eight Spygates worth of punishment.
Greg Williams. Whatever Greg Williams
gets, he deserves.
Lifetime ban, $10 million fine.
No problem with that either.
Anything,
I agree.
But all the other stuff to me is crazy talk. For Peyton, for the franchise, it's all crazy talk.
Let's see.
Depends on what they knew and what they did about it.
Yeah. I mean, some of those emails could be really
could
damning.
Be. Yeah, we don't know what's all in there.
But you're talking about the Patriots got fined $750,000 and lost the first round pick.
And Belichick got fined $250,000.
Yeah.
Patriots $500,000.
Right.
And the team lost the first round pick, right?
So $750,000 in a first round pick. And we're going to compare that to 3 draft picks, 2 franchise designations, a loss of your defensive coordinator, a loss of your coach for half a season, and a loss of your general manager for half a season.
It's not even comparable.
Plus, he didn't even talk about any fines. Right. There'll be fines that'll be over $1 million, too.
Right.
That's crazy. Like 8 Spygates worth of punishment. Yeah. They're not even in the same sense.
I think the penalty should be they have to take the roof off their stadium.
I think if you're going to do all that, you might as well just say you're not allowed to participate in
that's
the playoffs.
That's a big advantage that they have with that noise in there.
The dome?
Yeah, take that roof off. That's all I'm asking.
Oh, God.
Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Eric, having to hear about your mating woes pulls at my heartstrings every time.
He'd be happy to mate with you, by the way.
Don't you know that you have a surefire way to meet chicks? You're an artist. Well, go to that big park in Boston, set up your easel, and paint portraits. You can be there in your white smock and wear a little beret on your noodle.
What big park in Boston, Brooklyn, Matt? You don't know the name of it?
It's a way to hold
idiot.
It's a way to hold a chick captive for an hour while you work her over your highbrow.
It takes Eric like 3 years, not an hour.
No formal artistic training.
It's not a bad idea.
Or, Eric, you could just make up chicks.
I mean, we talked about
like
playing
he does,
guitar.
And pretend you have an Italian model girlfriend who you bang every night. Right? That's all he does.
We talk about playing guitar.
I don't know what he does.
You know,
that's what you
girls.
Should do. You should make up a girl.
Painting girls also. It worked for DiCaprio on Titanic.
Well, he died shortly thereafter, right. So I'd go a different route.
Right, yeah.
So just do it on dry.
That's
what
you should do is body painting.
Himself? Or
No, the women.
Oh.
Like on Sports Illustrated's
That's issues. A good gig.
Swimsuit issue. Yeah,
or the GoDaddy commercials. And
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you never see them painting fat, ugly chicks.
No.
They're always hot.
That's true.
But using that craft is not a bad idea in some form or fashion to get yourself, you know.
You don't think he's tried that? You've tried that, right?
You don't think he's tried? You've tried that, right?
Well, that's like telling Brady, you should throw the ball. I mean, you've tried that, right?
Let's see. Jay writes in, Glazer is nervous they'll include the names of all jock sniffers when the Saints Bounty Fund contributor list is released. So,
that he invested in it?
That's weird.
You know what? That's not that far-fetched. If he's that tapped into the Saints and he's that close with the players, you'd think that would be something that he wouldn't be involved in?
And it sounds like something that could cross over into MMA-type mentality.
And he's told you, he has all of these MMA things that he gets these guys to buy in.
What benefit is it for him to contribute to this pool?
There is no benefit. He's one of the boys.
Yeah, and that's how he gets
just
clients.
He gets caught up in one of the boys' mentality.
I'm with you. I think that email is onto something.
Now, who's this Ornstein guy that was...
Another shady character,
yeah,
apparently.
He was involved, I heard.
Yeah, he was a former NFL properties employee executive slash, and then was involved in supposedly extorting money from the league, so they kicked him out of that job. But then he became an agent slash marketing rep.
Wasn't he involved a little bit in getting Sean Payton those pills?
I don't know what he did for Sean Payton, but Payton mentions him in his book that he wrote after the Super Bowl about how this Ornstein guy would arrange on road trips, especially like in Miami, he would arrange for the players' individual like ticketing and hotels arrangements for the families and stuff. And he said, I don't know exactly what he did. This is Payton in his book, supposedly. Right. I don't know what he did exactly, but our players were always taken care of. So it's another one of these
slime balls.
Yeah. Who has direct connections
Hustler.
To yeah.
Player.
And supposedly he contributed to the fund.
Yeah. Boy, the people that you know
hangers
latch
on
to these teams. Oh my God.
But Fred, you don't see the benefit for a guy like Glacier? Like if he were to do something, it's a big stretch here. We don't know that's
well,
the case.
Well, I mean if he had money on the team maybe.
But he's getting in with players that are right. going to either be clients or recommend other players, you know, like Jonathan Vilma, for example.
But isn't there other...
Jonathan Vilma, there's only about, I don't know, 800 other guys from the U in the league. I get Jonathan Vilma and I funnel some cash to him so he can go on the table, $3,000 for whoever knocks out Brett Favre.
Okay.
And now I get Jonathan Vilma
right.
in my pocket and now
okay.
Jonathan Vilma is recommending all the U guys for my MMA nonsense.
I can see that. Okay.
That's right. Right. That's right. I called it nonsense.
Yeah, I can see that.
By the way, the Saints are just dirty. With all these little scandals, the Vicodin scandal that kind of just went away. And
they are dirty.
That
you're
organization
right.
is shadier than most, or worse at covering up shadiness than most.
Maybe it's because they...
I think it's probably the latter.
They play near Bourbon Street. Maybe, you know, the effect gets rubbed
it,
off.
It could
you know,
be.
Who knows?
And
they
had, I thought
it was
Rue.
Rue Bourbon.
That's what you said in your stand-up.
Yes.
With your hand at your side. In your green wrinkled T-shirt.
It wasn't wrinkled. It was just, you know, a little small.
I'm a little small. What can I say?
No, yeah, that's what makes it amazing.
Right.
You're tiny, and it was still small.
Be careful. I don't want you to knock over your
wall. Okay, Dagmar thanks. In Miami writes in, please, someone smack Andy in the face. He keeps bringing
please?
Up that defense let that Super Bowl go down the drain. Really, Andy? Last time I checked, they stopped the Giants on their very first drive and gave the ball to the offense that only took a snap and gave the ball back to the Giants along with two free points on the board. 9 points allowed in the first half to one of the hottest offenses at the moment.
17-9.
Oh, wait. Andy's still caught up with the defensive issues. Wake up, Andy. The Pats were a top offense this season and underperformed in the big game. Sorry, 17 points wasn't going to caught it, and in fact,
cut
it didn't
cut it.
Anything. Stop bashing the defense that kept you in the game and worry about getting some effing running game going.
Oh.
Three Super Bowls were won by the Pats by rushing for over 100 yards as a team. Two have been so far been lost. And the curious part is that the team rushing yardage hasn't reached the 100 mark in either game. Get the point? Please,
no,
someone
I don't
smack
actually.
Andy in the face. He is brain farting.
I don't actually get the point on any level. I don't get any of it. I'm being honest.
All right.
I don't get the point of any of that. 17 points is not enough to win. It was enough to beat you in Super Bowl 42, and you had the best offense in the history of the game. So 17 points is not enough to win football
games? I'll
also
say this, because I've heard this a lot, and it's a little bit of a pet peeve. And I think the defense played as well as you could expect in the Super Bowl. I'm not piling on the defense for this particular Super Bowl.
Yep.
But, okay, Brady cost them the safety. It was a bad play by the offense. Put in a bad spot, cost them 2 points. They kicked off. And the Giants took over on their 22-yard line. I'm sorry, it's not the offense's fault that the Giants then went 78 yards for a touchdown. That had nothing to do with the safety. Let's stop putting it 9 points. It was 2 points, not nine. It's not like they took over at midfield and they gave them a short field. They took over on their own 22. That's not on the offense that the Giants went 78 yards for a touchdown.
And by the way, if the Giants weren't going nine plays every time they had the ball, Patriots probably would have rushed for 100 yards. When you give an offense the ball that much, you're going to have more yards, more production. A defense contributes to an offense.
Well, that's another good point. When you have confidence in your defense, you know, you're more willing to do running plays and take your time. And I think the Patriots are in a little bit of a panic sometimes
where their offense
feels they need to score points every opportunity because, you know, those opportunities are going to be limited because of the extended drives by the other team's offense.
The result is true. They should have and could have and probably should have won the Super Bowl. with a terrible defense. But that doesn't change the fact that the defense is terrible, and you'd be a better team with a better defense, and there's further to go to be a good defense than there is to be...
Right.
I mean, you're already a great offense. You could be greater, sure. But the thing that needs fixing is defense, regardless of the fact that if Brady makes a good throw, Welker catches the ball, and they win the Super Bowl.
That's the part of the argument that I can't get involved in. He's right. He's absolutely right. I'm playing devil's advocate with all the wide receiver talk, but you can't get around that simple fact. Your offense is fine. Your defense isn't. And just because you could have won without that defense doesn't mean that's the best way to go about it.
Which is weird that you've been arguing online and in the paper how much you want to
receive. One might think there's something up with that.
Well, I think even if they had won the game, I think everything we're talking about is true.
Right.
It's still you would love to have that outside receiver, and still you need to make your defense better. Even if you won the game.
That was perfectly phrased. You'd like to have that outside receiver. You need to make your defense better.
Okay.
You said it all right there, Fred.
All right. There you go.
You do. I can't argue with that.
You were right. I'm giving you credit for being right.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to be it for
is it?
Yes.
Yeah, 2 o'clock, bro.
This edition of PFW in Progress.
We're not even yelling at each other.
Paul's
an idiot.
Thanks for listening. And, of course, we'll be back on Thursday with another in-season, off-season edition of PFW in Progress.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.